Well, hello, everybody, and welcome back to the X-Files Diaries. I'm Annie.
I'm Jen.
Today, we have a gross episode for you. So be sure, before you listen to this one, just don't be eating anything or doing anything that requires... Don't. It's not a good call.
Unless you have a really strong stomach. Some people do.
Right. And I mean...
I am not one of them.
People can, I guess, watch the show while eating. I'm not one of those people.
Yeah.
We will have some gross times today.
We are.
But before we get to that, let's hear some tweets of the week.
He's made outrageous public statements on an internet site.
That wasn't him. That was me. And they're not outrageous.
Okay, tweets of the week. These are in response to our latest mythology episode about Apocrypha, the second parter of the Piper Maru Apocrypha episodes. And some great comments in response to that. Thank you, everyone, as always. Kathy G said, fun fact, we actually have seen Agent Fuller before, same actor, same character name, in Squeeze. He was Colton's supervisor or superior and the one Scully presented the profile to and who got pissed at Mulder after the polygraph. And now 2 years later, Scully is giving him orders. Hell yeah.
Wow.
I thought he looked really familiar, Andy, but I didn't think to actually check. I thought it was just my mind playing tricks, but Kathy has brought it to the light for us.
Yeah, I feel like, and I could be wrong because we recorded that a while ago, but I feel like we both said that we thought he was familiar, but we had no idea. But like that was a really, really good find. I would never have picked up on that. So well done,
That's
Kathy.
That's nice. Thanks, Kathy. I like that continuity from like way back when in season one, and then he's coming back around in season three. And yeah, loving the fact that Scully is pushing him around now when she was just a baby agent back then. But
yeah,
she is taking charge and kicking ass, and I love it. He's just like, whatever you say, I'll do whatever you say.
I love the growth. Love the Scully growth we've seen in two seasons. It's just amazing. It's great.
And clearly Agent Fuller has remained rather stagnant, and Scully has clearly surpassed him, and I like that. Kathy also adds, I've always thought that Apocrypha referred to the black oil and the events on the Zeus Faber, that's the submarine, which had been hidden and are just coming to light. I think that's a really great suggestion from Kathy. I think we've talked before that there's an ongoing theme in the X-Files about hidden things coming to light. But I think, speaking for myself, may have overthought the title.
I know. I think we both did.
Bogged down a bit in it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, honestly, that's a good theory. I like that theory. But it just the black oil itself coming to light, like it has been buried deeply for, you know, thousands and thousands of years or however long. I don't know if my numbers are right. Sorry, everyone. I'm bad with math. It could just be as simple as that. And
I think that's probably, you know,
we
it's
tend
just
to overthink
secret.
Things around here. So.
Well, we do. Overthinking is my specialty. But thank you, Kathy, for cutting through our confusion and just making that very clear and concise suggestion, because I think that's probably what it actually was meant to mean. And I'm very happy to go with that. Monica Filefan says maybe the scene where Scully visits Melissa's grave is where she realizes why she didn't just put a bullet in Cardinal's brain, because no punishment is ever enough and real justice is served in an apocrypha or maybe obscure sense. Also vibes with her and Mulder's quest to reveal the truth. There's another sort of interesting interpretation of the word apocrypha, Annie, that Monica has, that it's about sort of the obscurity of justice. What do you think about that?
I really like that. I mean,
that's cool.
I really like the idea that we can make these titles, they're very layered and they can mean all kinds of things. Like we can totally underthink them and we can totally overthink them. And then there's all these different variations that lay in between. And I love that. So
I love that. That's the X-Files, baby. That's why we can still talk about the X-Files 27 odd years later, because there's so many different variations on every little detail, and there's always new things to investigate and new things to consider. And I love that about the X-Files. Sunday says, okay, there was a few people that picked up on this aspect of the episode that I had forgotten. But as Sunday points out, Jen, you won't ship the Scully-Skinner pairing. I don't care who the author is. It's just a no, 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 no. And I've read quite a fair few fics with the pairing. I mean, I was talking to my husband about this earlier, and he and I are both fanfic fans in our fandoms. And he said, I think we call that hate reading, Sunday, because she's read a few fair fics, but it's a straight no for her. But I get it, Sunday. I've done my fair share of hate reading, too.
I don't hate read. usually if I start to read something and I realize at a certain point that it is not for me, I am out. I am bopping out.
That's good.
I am slamming the door. I don't need that imagery in my brain.
That's good. I mean, I should try to be more like that, but you know what? I get sucked in sometimes and I'm like, I'm intrigued and horrified in equal measures. And sometimes it's an accident I can't look away from.
I get that too, because I'm that way with like horror films. Like, I get that. It's like, I know that it's bad for me, but I have to look. Like, that's kind of how I am with that. But I don't know, with fic and pairing characters that, like, I'm just like, no, 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 no. It's almost one of those things, like, I can't unsee it. I have a very vivid imagination, and I would rather not see it. You know, I'd just rather not see it in my brain. I don't.
Yeah.
So, yeah, in my mind, it is just not a thing that needs to
That's
be existing.
Fair.
But you
That's
know what?
Fair.
More power to other people who enjoy it. It's just not for me.
Oh, by all means.
Just
me. I think you're right that you have an excellent imagination, because you're a fanfic writer as well. So you're very creative and kind of a right-brained person in a lot of ways, whereas I'm very left-brained. And so for me, it's just like, let's analyze what kind of bullshit this is.
Yeah,
and it doesn't affect me quite as much. But okay. I appreciate the warning though, Sunday. I am not going anywhere. I'm not even going to tempt myself by putting that pairing into AO3 and just out of curiosity to see what it is. No. And Mara said, absolutely cackling at Jen's panic when Annie said she was letting her MSR card slip every week. I do remember panicking at that moment.
Yes, because
I was getting a little too interested in the concept of Scully and Skinner possibly being
sometimes, a ship. Yeah, sometimes I feel like I don't know who you are anymore, Jen.
Oh, no, that was like an affront to my own personal identity, though. The idea that my MSR card is slipping is like, no, that's like.
Hopefully
the
that's
one
a wake up call.
Maybe that's exactly what I needed, because, you know, that's the only like consistent identity I've had for like the last 27 years. So I cannot let my MSR shipper card ever slip. There'll be nothing left of me. That's pretty much like that's my whole soul. So I got to keep an eye on that. I was backsliding. I was obviously tempted by the devil.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I'm getting back on track, and I feel like Sunday's really helping me with this. Thank you, Sunday.
Good.
Now Emily Page Blue comes along in the end here, and Emily and I, we're on the same page. Emily's helping me. She says, I think I feel like Jen does about Scully Skinner. I don't truly want to see them together, but I am captivated by the dynamics between them. Thank you, Emily. Yes, that's it. I don't actually want to see them together. I have this weird thing where I'm like intrigued by theoretical ships that I have no desire to see, but I'm just intrigued by them and just curious. Do people ship them? So I'm just interested how people perceive those dynamics. That's my excuse. Please let me keep my MSR card.
No, and I like that. I appreciate that. Coming at it from that angle as just a curious person.
I'm a very curious person.
I can accept that. And I also am a curious person, but I also know my boundaries. Like I know when I will be quote unquote disturbed by something and I just don't even want to go there. And you know what? I really don't need, I don't have any interest in shipping Scully and Mulder with anyone other than each other. Mm-hmm. And that is where I'm at. And that's where I would be very, very content to stay.
That's fair. That's absolutely fair. Whereas if I think something's going to be like bad for me, I can't not read it or watch it or anything else. It's terrible. I just like, it's like some kind of weird form of like sadomasochism or something. It's like, oh, this looks horrible. Let me find out all about it. Like my husband has to talk me out of watching horror movies because they are terrible for me. I am very easily frightened. That completely screws up my head for weeks after. And so,
no,
yet,
I'm exactly
like,
the same way.
I want to watch that. That looks really good. And he's like, Jen, it's a horror movie. You know you shouldn't watch that.
Oh, well, okay. We have the opposite dynamic because my husband loves horror movies and he knows he's going to talk me into watching it, even though I always regret it. But we sit and we watch it and I know he's there and it's not going to get me. So I'm good. But I have this morbid curiosity. Like I want to see. Mm-hmm. I do want to know. I want to know what happens. I want to know what people are talking about. I want to know blah, 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 blah. But I think the difference between that and this, what we're talking about, is that I don't really have close emotional connections to like these horror movies or like these characters. I don't know them. I have no clue what I'm going into. Into this, I already have a very strong emotional connection to the characters. And I just don't want my own vivid imagination to run amok and fuck with that, so to speak.
Yeah. Well, our ships are very precious, right? Especially when it's Mulder and Scully, my number one ship.
Yes.
That's a precious thing to us. And we don't want, I mean, they only exist in our head. So we don't need that screwed around with, do we? Or else
that
leads to trouble. They're in my heart.
It's something that makes me happy when I'm not necessarily watching it. I know it exists in my mind and in my heart, and I don't want to mess with that. You know?
Absolutely. Yeah. No. They exist in our hearts and minds forever, and sometimes we just have to protect that. And there's nothing wrong with that at all. And I know that I'm MSR to the core and nothing will ever shake that. I promise. Don't take my card.
You can keep your card, Jen. It's okay.
Thank God. I'm very stressed about the situation. Thanks, everyone, for your comments and for the wake-up call on where I stand on my shipping. Always appreciated. Do tweet at us anytime about shipping or the X-Files or anything interesting that you'd like to bring to our attention, because we'd love to hear from our listeners. We're at XFD Podcast and we look forward to seeing you there.
Mulder, the internet is not good for you.
All right, Jen. I mean, I can't believe we've been doing this podcast for 3 years and we haven't discussed like the nasty ass moments on this show.
Oh, I can believe it, because I probably was not like, Annie, I really feel like watching the most disgusting moments on the X-Files. Can we please do 20 of the most disgusting episodes of the X-Files?
I'd much rather watch pretty Mulder and beautiful Scully.
Exactly.
There isn't going to be a lot of that in this episode, but I hope you guys stick around, because I still do think it's going to be a pretty good one.
I think it's going to be really interesting. I mean, these are going to be our top 10 of the grossest moments each.
Yeah.
And they're an interesting variety, I think.
I think they are. And what I found interesting is sometimes Jen and I do this. We'll be like, okay, wait, do we really need 10 each? Maybe we could just do 5. And like, and as I was putting my list together, I was like, no, like I have so many on here that there's no way we can do 5, first of all. And then we actually did sort of tell each other what we had, because we wanted to be prepared. Like, I may not remember some random moment that you're pointing out in a season 4 episode that I don't ever watch. You know what I mean? So,
And I deliberately sometimes avoid watching the gross moments. Even if it's an episode that I watch on a regular basis, I still may just, like, my brain just blocks out the gross parts. And so this time I had to make sure I forced myself to watch them with a thoughtful eye.
Right, and I close my eyes so often. I don't realize how often I do that, because I would be like, oh, I swore this was longer, or I swore this looked like this. Yeah. Like in my mind, I made it different. And so it's just.
Yeah, a lot of it, I could remember how it sounded, because I would look away, but I could still hear it. Mm. But a lot of it, I was like, geez, is that how that scene went? Because I'm not sure how many times I actually watched the whole thing without looking away. So it was very, very interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's one word for it, at least.
I wanted to give a shout out, too, because The X-Files has won Emmys for, I think, 3 seasons. I should have done better research on this. 99, 2000, and I think 2001, they won Emmys for makeup. So, right. And a lot of this was makeup.
A lot related. Of this was, you know, yeah, absolutely. Shout out to the makeup people. I'm also going to give a shout out to the audio people because a lot of the gross elements for me are created by the sounds that I'm sure they created after the fact. So shout out to all of those great technical people who made this happen.
Yeah, because you're right. Because it's sound and camera and all of the things that made these.
Yeah. The special effects people working with a low budget in the early seasons, especially. And they made things like that freaked me the hell out.
This sort of paved the way, I think, for these kinds of gross out shows. I mean, I not to say this didn't happen before, but like The X-Files was one of those shows where you knew if you tuned in, you were going to be disgusted at some point.
A lot of the time.
Yeah.
And you never knew what was coming necessarily. That almost made, you know, the fact that that you told me sort of what you were looking at for your top 10 and you sort of gave me an idea of what the moments were, that made it more horrifying in a way because I'd be like watching the scene knowing something horrific was about to happen and it just made me feel horrified for the whole thing. Whereas a lot of the time you're watching it, you don't know the horrible stuff's coming. That's horrible in a whole other way because you're surprised by it. So it's awful no matter what happens, but awful in a great way. I mean, like the moments that I picked are picked that... They're clearly, to me at least, quite disgusting. Although, you know, that's of course very subjective, but also not just disgusting, but like compelling at the same time.
Yeah.
Like disgusting in a way that I want to look away, and a lot of times I do a bit, but I know, and on a certain level, I can't look away because it's just weirdly fascinating at the same time.
Yep. It's that macabre, like the draw of this show. And I think that's the reason, like, a lot of people enjoy horror and gore and like those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. Even though they don't, it's not like we like that. It's just fascinating. Like, I think so. I'm not a huge horror fan, so I'm not speaking for horror fans, but there is an element of it that you're like, I just want to see. Like, I know it's terrible, but I need to see it.
Yeah.
Like,
and The X-Files did a great job with that because, I mean, it's easy to make something that's disgusting, but it's not that easy to make something that's disgusting and watchable.
Yeah. That's true.
And The X-Files did a great job of that because they always brought an element of fascination to the disgusting stuff that made you want to watch it no matter how disgusting it was.
Yeah. And I want to say, too, at the end, I do want to make some brief shout outs, like, quote, quick honorable mentions to a lot of the ones that didn't quite make my list. But since I really doubt we're going to do another episode about this at any point, I do want to give shout outs to the ones that didn't make my list because there are so many. But let's get going here, Jen. How about you start with your number 10?
All right. My number 10. I did have a lot to pick from. So even my number 10 for me is pretty yee. This is from Chinga, episode 19 of season 5. It's the very opening scene.
Actually, I think that's episode 10.
Is it episode 10? Why did I write down 19?
I don't know why you did because I was confused by that, but I believe it's episode 10.
Oh, it was meant to be 10. Yeah, you're right. I think I just put a typo there.
Or
the
your
9 is right next to the 0.
The 9 could look like a 1.
Could look like a 0. Thank you for pointing that out. I know I can get nothing by you when it comes to episode order. You know it way better than I do. No, I appreciate it. I hate being wrong. Very opening scene, which is not uncommon for my list, for the opening scene to be the most disgusting one, because, you know, they're grabbing you from the very beginning. And they do in Chinga. Opening scene in the supermarket when little girl Polly, I think her name was, just kind of makes everyone claw their eyes out, basically. I mean, not completely out, claw at their eyes.
Well, I think the doll is doing it, to be fair.
All right, we're going to blame the doll.
Let's please blame the doll.
Let's blame the doll. It's all extremely creepy. And there's blood. People are clawing at their eyes. All of them are doing it at the same time, which is super creepy.
Yeah.
And the fact that they're doing it to themselves also makes it super creepy. And also, poor Dave the Butcher stabs himself through the eye, which we don't get a really close look at. We mainly just see it as kind of a vision ahead of time. But that is more than enough. Anything to do with eyes creeps me the hell out. Can't stand it. That is my number 10 from Jenga.
That's a really good one. And that didn't make my list, but when I saw it, I was like, yeah. You know, and it is very Stephen King, which I think is what's so great about it. Like, and you're right. I think the added element of the fact that they're doing this to themselves, like I sometimes in these situations, and like when I watch horror movies or whatever, I often will put myself into the position of the person, and that's kind of how it's frightening. Like I imagine, okay, how would that actually feel to be scratching at your eyes so hard that your eyes start to bleed and you are creating these divots in your cheeks, and like it's terrifying and gross at the end of the day, just plain gross. That's a really, really good pick.
Yeah, yikes. What was your number 10, Annie?
All right, okay. My number 10 is... Well, I mean, look, this needed to be mentioned, okay?
Okay.
Season 8.
Needed to be mentioned, all right.
I have a lot from season 8. Okay, Badla, okay?
Oh, God.
Now, this episode gets a lot of hate because the premise is just so ridiculously disgusting that I think people just... It's so disgusting, people, I think, stay away from it. I actually don't think it's that bad of an episode. It's fine if I want to be alone on this hill. It's definitely not the worst episode of season 8. It's not the best episode of season 8. It's somewhere in the middle, in my opinion. But there's this... There's just this scene where you don't see the creepy little old man actually crawling up this fat man's ass and going inside his body. Like, you should see my notes for this episode, Jen. It's like, literally, I wrote fat man bleeds from eyes and butt. That's what I wrote. And I'm just like, what is this show? So literally, no. And I like you said about the eyes, like I think that a lot of time in horror, I know this is not necessarily less is more, but it kind of is, because you're not seeing what's happening. You're just seeing this guy's reaction to what's happening. Like, you know there's something going on inside him, and that is terrifying because you don't know what's happening. And, like, it could make you, again, think of yourself. Like, if something's happening inside me, I can't see what's happening. Somebody's up in my colon, like, killing me. And the fact that the blood is just, like, coming out of his eyes. And then, like, even later when Scully and Doggett go in and, like, there's just this giant blood pool on the bed. Like, even just these very simple things, because it makes your imagination work. Like, it makes you think, oh my God, what must that have been like? Like, and I do not want to think about little men crawling up my butt and killing me from the inside. Don't want to think about it. But it is just disgusting. It's one of those things, too, where it leaves a lot to the imagination, but what an imaginative path that we have to take to get there. So that is my number 10.
I don't hate Bad Love myself. It comes along at a point in season 8, as I recall, when I kind of like was all like, yeah, hey, this is pretty good, this episode.
Scully and Doggett have some great little banter in that episode.
They do. Yeah. I think it's generally a well-written episode. I think this squeaky little platform thing that guy is rolling around on is hella creepy.
Yeah, it's really effective. Again, with
it's
the sound.
Very effective.
I will defend Badla. Like, it's not one of these episodes that I'm like, it's amazing. But, like, I think it's one that people immediately default to, like Teso de Speeches, when they try to think of a terrible episode. And I'm like, it's really not that bad. It's scary. It's creepy. It's gross. And it has some, and Scully looks beautiful. And it has some really great Scully Doggett moments. And I don't know. It just has a lot of the things that I need for a good episode. And again, I'm getting off track because we're talking about the nastiness.
But we're not going to talk about Badla super often. So
no, exactly.
I'm glad to have the opportunity to talk about it now. I think there are also a few sort of problematic cultural elements, which is an issue. But
yeah, that's true.
I think I have, honestly, I have a sliding scale for season 8 when it comes to Mulderless episodes that are not about Mulder in any way. And there's a lot of Monster of the Weeks in season 8 that are not great, and some that are great.
Yeah.
And the not great ones tend to outnumber the great ones, I think. So if this had been in, like, say, season 3, I might not have thought anything of it. I probably would have forgotten it pretty quickly. But, you know, in season 8, you take what you get. And I think compared to some of the dull episodes that we had, at least it wasn't dull.
Right.
This
it
was not
dull.
A dull episode.
That's true. Was not.
And it was fascinating to watch and horrifying. I can still remember, there's not a lot of things I remember watching in season 8, even though I did watch it. But I didn't watch it all that carefully at the time because, you know, no Mulder. But I can still remember all these years later how I felt about that squeaky little wheelie thing. Yeah. That I still remember how creepy that was. So that stuck with me. So that's got to mean something.
I can still hear that. Like, I don't need the episode to hear that. And that's effective. They did their job. Brief shout out before we move on, because, like, as you said, we probably will never be discussing Bad Law again. there's also a moment, and I want somebody out there, some amazing fan, to catalog all of the moments where Scully, like, finds something disgusting in an autopsy, because she does autopsies so often, but, like, there are some times where, like, you see Jillian, like, genuinely react, like, ah! And, like, this is one of those, because it's literally, like, a tiny little hand coming out of this body. It's so gross. Oh, my God. And then she's like, what the fuck happened? Because it's, like, gone. And then, like, you see the blood, and then you see the wheels and the little blood prints with the little hands.
Hand prints.
Oh. It's great.
Yeah, it is great. And it's, like, I was just really so, I mean, Scully's always badass, but I'm so horrified and cowering, and there's Scully. She's going after that thing.
She's
and
got
I'm
her
like,
gun.
Girl, you go.
I was imagining what's going on. I didn't watch these entire episodes for this, FYI. I just watched, like, the bits that I thought were gross. But, like, I just, like, I'm like, what is going through her head as she's aiming a gun at some tiny man or something with a hand that came out? Like, what is she thinking? She's like,
what is she expecting?
I don't know what this is, but I know I've got
to
shoot it. Like,
whatever it is, I think I'm going to need a gun.
Exactly.
So,
it's great.
She's just so badass, and I just love it because she's so fearless. She'll just take on it. I mean, I would have just run out the door. Whether I had, like, a whole army, I still would have just run the opposite direction.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, she's like, nope, I'm going to find out what this is and take it down.
Scully's like, oh, it's just another Wednesday. Like, I mean, it's no big deal to her, but gross.
And it's funny what you said about Scully's reaction during that autopsy. And, like, you know, it seems like, it's funny that you mentioned specifically that, you know, it seems like a fairly genuine reaction, because I was thinking the exact same thing when I was watching that scene. That's the scene when it occurred to me. I wonder how often, like, Jillian and David were genuinely startled by the effects.
By something that was happening,
She does seem pretty alarmed by it. And I'm thinking, yeah, that probably happened the odd time. I mean, those effects are, they at least on screen, look extremely impressive.
So
I got to think occasionally, at least, they must have been genuinely grossed out by what was going on.
Yeah.
I'll have to ask that next time I'm chatting with Jillian Anderson.
I know, next time we're hanging out with our pal, Jillian.
Yeah, next time we're hanging out with our pal, Jillian, we'll ask her that.
All right, what is your number 9?
My number 9, this is from the mythology episode. This is Apocrypha. And specifically, it's near the end of the episode when the black oil is exiting Krychek's body through, like, everything. It's coming out through his eyes, through his nose, through his mouth. He's, like, making all these, like, moaning, choking sounds. And it's all, like, you can see. And it's like, that to me, that freaks me out every time. I'm, like, relieved for him when it finally gets out. But, boy, it takes a long time for it to get out. It's not a fast exit.
It just doesn't look pleasant.
It just trickles out.
Yeah.
And it looks and sounds extremely unpleasant. And, I mean, Nick Lee just gave his all to that scene, because he's really given it. And it seems really horrible.
Yeah, I was going to say, well, first of all, it wasn't so much the stuff coming out of his eyes that impacted me. Like you said, I feel like it was Nick's performance, because he really looks like he's in pain. Like, he looks like, I didn't want to say it, but I'm going to. I felt his pain, because I feel like that's me after some sort of college party.
right.
It looked so familiar. But
I don't, like, hunched over and things coming out of you kind of thing.
Yeah. No, I'm serious, though. But, like, when I was watching that, that's what I was thinking of. I was like, oh, my God, I feel for him, because he looks like he's got, like, the world's worst hangover.
Kind of does.
But that would literally be the worst hangover if it was coming out of, like, your eyes and just everything, like, coming out of every orifice and, like, dribbling down. Awful. And it's funny, because we just watched that episode recently, because that's where we're at in our
mythology series.
It was not something that would have come immediately to my mind, but when you mentioned it on your list, I was like, you're right, that's really good. And that's probably the best example. I mean, we have a lot of black oil coming out of people in this series, and that you picked, I think, the scariest one. I would say, shout out to something that didn't make my list because it's appropriate as we're talking about it. The Patient X, I was going to, of those rebel aliens when they kind of scratch the stitches open and the black oil comes out of their faces. That's gross. But, like, that's not as violent as what's happening here. Like, this is like a violent ejection of the alien force. Yes. Like, he is not having a great time here. So
Yeah, usually when we see the oil coming out, it's more of like the person's in kind of a trance, sort of.
Yeah, yeah. Or
they're
dead.
Don't seem to really be feeling anything. Right. So, this one, he's feeling it. Mm-hmm. And I agree. They don't do a lot with the black oil in that regard, but man, they really went all out in this episode. Once was enough, thank you very much. But it was a great scene. So that was my number nine. What is your number nine, Annie?
I like that. That was like a deep cut pick. I enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Okay, well, speaking of deep cut picks, and this is just one of those things that, you know, when you watch something that grosses you out and you just have the image doesn't really ever leave your mind. And this is one that I think of frequently. And as a meat eater, as a carnivore,
yes,
I don't enjoy that concept, but it was very effective. This is the season 7 episode Hungry. And this is the moment where Rob Roberts is he's at the grill and he's grilling the burgers and then they turn into brains.
Oh, little brains.
Little tiny brains. But you know what? It's such a great effect. Like, it's so effective. It's so cool. And like, I do, as gross as this is, I do look at those little brains and I think, oh, those are probably like made out of ground turkey or something. They're probably really delicious. Like, that was what I was thinking. Am I terrible? Because that's totally what I was thinking. But the idea of it being brains and that's what he's thinking is disgusting. And it was just such a cool little visual insert for them to put in there. And what I think is so great about Hungry, another episode that would be fun to talk about sometime, it's one of the only ones that they really do kind of from the POV of the antagonist, like of the monster, which I think is so fascinating because we don't really get to see that very often. I mean, we do see sort of bits and pieces of like the antagonist and like what they're thinking. Like what comes to my mind is the season 2 episode Blood, where the guy keeps seeing the subliminal messages. So we do see it, but like this was like the whole episode was basically we are on this in this guy's brain, pun intended. But I just think that that image is so disgusting and it makes me go, although maybe I'll have a brain burger. I can't decide. But it is gross, very effective, and that's my number nine.
That is great. All I can say is you are clearly a devoted carnivore. If that actually makes you want to like, I think I'm going to have me a brain burger.
I'm so devoted.
That's great. Meat Council is going to love you. Hungry's not an episode I watch a lot, to be honest. So it had been a long time since I watched this scene. And it kind of piqued my interest enough to make me think I really need to rewatch that app because this is really well done.
It's a good one.
I mean,
one.
It is a good one. And that whole scene, I mean, he obviously, has this vision of the brains. But the whole thing is done so well because, of course, he's just looking at regular burgers. But these are still raw burgers and they still already look kind of gross.
Yeah.
And they've obviously, designed the burgers themselves to look as similar to the brains as possible. Because when they suddenly sort of metamorphosize into what appears to be some kind of ground meat brains, they look very similar, but yet it's just like just one more step. Like, here's some regular burgers that you might eat, and now they're brains.
Yes, yeah.
It's very well done and very sort of horrifying. Very quick. It's one of these, blink and you miss it kind of things, but very effective. Like, it's on screen just long enough. Anything longer, it might have been a little cheesy almost, but it just works really well. The editing is always key with this stuff, and that scene is perfectly edited and yikes.
You know, it's funny. It makes me think of like those bits in old cartoons where like the wolf is like salivating. He's looking at the little creature or whatever. And it turns into a giant turkey. And like, cause he's imagining, ooh, that looks like something I want to eat. It reminded me of that. But like, the gross inverse of that. Like, you know, yes, it was, yeah, it was, because you don't look at it and think this is funny. I didn't. I thought like, oh, this is clearly supposed to be gross. But yeah, yeah, I don't know. It made me think of that.
It is like, there is almost a very sort of subtle element of like black humor to it because it is so bizarre. It's like, you know, in terms of, you know, bizarre kind of humor, not like ha 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 humor, but like, oh, freak me out. Like, that's wild, dude, kind of humor, which The X-Files always does really well, I think. Yeah. And yeah, that's a very imaginative scene and really unusual. I've never seen anything like it. And so that was a great pick. I'm really glad that you reminded me of that scene in that episode. So well done. For your number nine.
How you doing, Jen? I'm doing all right.
Doing okay. I mean, it's a really hot day here in Edmonton, which we don't have all that often, but we do. And so I knew I was going to start to feel a little weird at some point, possibly during this episode. So I got all the fans going on full blast to keep me calm and cool. But so far, I'm doing all right. I feel it's easier to talk about these scenes than it is to watch them. I'll say that.
Yeah, that's true.
Because watching them was not a good experience necessarily. I could not take too many at a time. I was like, I'd get through like maybe three of them and I'd be like, I need a break. Yeah. I think that's,
go watch
like,
Friends.
That's enough for now. Yeah, I'm going to go watch an episode of Friends and then I'll come back and watch some more of this. Because, man, it was starting to get to me. So, yeah, because I don't, you know, I am not a gore person. Which is kind of funny considering how much I love The X-Files. But, yeah, these are not things that I normally watch a lot of, and then to watch all of them at once, it,
you know,
was
interesting.
A lot.
Yeah, I can appreciate gore, but like, it's not something I will seek out. Like, for instance, since we're talking about Brains on the Grill, I should bring up the fact that I really enjoy Hannibal, the NBC series Hannibal.
Okay.
Yeah. Not just because of Jillian, although she is fantastic in it, but that show is so good. It makes gore beautiful. I know, like, that sounds ridiculous, but it's true. And if you haven't watched Hannibal, you should. It's great.
It's got a definite aesthetic to it.
Yes, yes.
It's too much for me. I've only ever watched, like, one episode for the Jillian factor, and that wasn't for Jen.
And you know right away if it's for you or not. So that's what's good about it.
But okay. I can appreciate it. So, if you're into that kind of thing, you'd love it.
That could become quite a tangent. So let's move on to your number eight.
My number eight. Okay, this is a different kind of yuck for me. This is the Pine Bluff variant, which is not generally a gory episode, but this is when Mulder is being interrogated by like the terrorist boss guy and they break his finger to get him to talk. Mm. They take his little pinky finger and they just kind of very slowly break it.
Poor Mulder's finger. Ooh.
They break it a little tiny bit and then they break it a little tiny bit more. And then they break it a lot all at once. And poor Mulder is just in so much pain. I mean, David does a great performance. Again, the performances have a lot to do with how
he's so good. So
and he's obviously in so much pain. Like, my finger literally hurts watching that scene because I can just feel it. It's just ouch the whole time. And he's obviously, it was quite badly broken, considering, as we discussed when we discussed the episode Folie à Deux, he's still wearing the bandage in Folie à Deux. So that was clearly a bad break. And kudos to Mulder, man. He's devoted to the job because, man, I would have caved on the first little crack, crack, crack.
I find the fact that he held out so hot.
It really makes him
so much more attractive to me.
And he wears a lot of a leather jacket. I think maybe he has a leather jacket on in that scene, if I remember correctly.
Pine Bluff variant has got some turtleneck and some leather jacket, I believe.
Yeah, it's a very hot episode, actually. And you're right.
This conversation has taken an unexpected turn. But
well, I mean, in some ways, it's quite expected knowing us. But not necessarily intended by the scene, but, you know, it's just the way things go with us. I mean, I remember back in the day, I don't see it as often as I used to in fandom, but I remember back in the 90s, there was a substantial portion of the X-Files fandom that were totally there for the Mulder torture scenes. That was what they were really, really into. I don't see it as often. And they loved this scene because, I mean, it is a little hot.
It is. You know,
in a
funny,
certain special way.
When I saw this on your list, my first thought was, that's an interesting pick. That's not really gross. And then I watched it and I was like, oh, and you, when you were describing it, you saw me like visually reacting because like,
I'm speaking you out of
it. I didn't think about it. And that's why it didn't make my list, because it didn't even cross my mind. But you're so right that this was such a gross thing. And you know what? I watched it a couple times waiting for the moment where we heard this horrifying crack sound. Yeah. And you never do. And I wonder if that was a standards issue. Like, I wonder if you couldn't. Because I kept waiting. I mean, it was very effective without that. But I kept waiting. I'm like, okay, it's not quite broken yet, I guess, because I didn't hear the crack. Yeah. And you never really do hear the crack. And I have to think the only reason you don't is for that reason, for that purpose.
Very interesting point, because there's just like this series of crunches.
Yeah.
Which is already really bad.
Yes.
Spoiler alert to the standards and practices people, it was already pretty bad.
Yeah.
And there's like suddenly like a louder and more sort of aggressive sounding crunch at the end. So I think that's meant to be the moment it breaks. But you're right. There's not like that one. There's not like a crack. It's more of a crunch.
It sounds kind of like you're stepping in snow. Like a,
yeah,
you know, which is bad. It's terrible. But like, you know, as somebody who works in the television industry, I know how this works with standard and practices, and it is the weirdest things that they won't allow. Like, it really truly is. So I have to just, it's bizarre. So I have to just say that, like, that's my guess as to why we didn't get a very quote unquote satisfying crack at any point, because I think that would have really, really, really just made this scene tops, but it was still fantastic.
I would have capped it off nicely, because it is kind of hard to tell, like, is it broken now or is it broken now? Whereas a crack would have made it, you know, narratively speaking, a lot clearer. So I have a feeling you're right. I think that's a very good theory, that they had to change the sound a little bit, maybe after they had done
post, they had to do
version.
That. Yeah.
Yeah. They had to redo the sound again. And it's fine. It's still
luckily
really super gross.
Mulder's
the way they
shrieking is good.
Yeah. That's what sells it, I think, for me. It's the crunching sound plus Mulder's reaction. That just, it makes me feel it. And he does such a great job. I mean, you know, as we're talking about standards and practices, one thing I wrote down in my notes at one point was, what would the X-Files have been if they hadn't had standards and practices?
Oh, God.
What if this was, you know, a couple of decades later and on HBO? What would they have done then? Because this is already some pretty hardcore stuff that we're talking about today. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine what it would have been if they had no limitations.
Yeah.
I don't want to think about that.
I really don't either. I mean, look, I mean, knowing, I don't want to spoil, but knowing that you have some revival stuff on your list, it makes me think that, like, they were allowed a little bit more leeway nowadays, because some of that stuff in the revival, I was like, how did this make it onto primetime? Like, I mean, I thought that about Hannibal all the time, but like, it's amazing to me what makes it on certain shows and what makes it on others. And it is a very gray area. Like, the idea, the way standards and practices works is it's not what you think it is. It's very gray. So I think that is very fascinating.
I find it really interesting, because, you know, I always kind of imagine standards and practices being more like, okay, here's a list of what's allowed and here's a list of what's not. But it's obviously a lot more complex than that.
No. It's more of a barter system.
So it's so interesting to me, because, I mean, that obviously influences the way the X-Files and shows like that, like yours, are made, because you must be thinking all the time, some of this is going to get cut, so we'll put in more than we need.
Yeah. Oh, awesome. I can't talk. Why am I getting tongue-tied? All the time that happens. Like, you will be like, okay, well, this is never going to make it in, so let's go whole hog. And I feel like partially slightly lucky that, I mean, and for my show, Family Guy, I get to see a lot of stuff that never sees the light of day, which is fun. But I know as I'm working on it that it's never going to see the light of day. So, I mean, that's kind of what makes it special. But at the same time, if you do something really, really, really awful, it makes something else that's slightly less awful more palatable. So I think a lot of the time that's maybe how they get away with some of it. So, and then you have episodes like Home, which, believe it or not, listeners, is not on my list.
Yeah,
that only air once because it airs and then they go, what the fuck were we thinking?
How did we let that through?
Yeah, yeah.
Was Jim on vacation that week?
Exactly. So yeah. It's just, I find it endlessly fascinating what can make it in and what doesn't. And yeah, it's just, it's amazing. Anyway.
I find it really interesting too, that whole process and the sort of attempt on the part of broadcasters to reflect the values of society and the way that that sort mm-hmm. of changes over the years. Because like you say, I think in the revival, they got away with some stuff that I don't think they would have originally. But at the same time, there's some stuff in the original series that I don't know if I would see today. Not necessarily gory stuff, but an episode like Home. I'm not sure how that would have gone over in the revival. Right. So it's interesting to see how things change over the decades in terms of values.
Yeah, I mean, speaking of values, it's not to go too much onto a tangent, but I'm continually amazed at how much gore and violence is allowed and sex is not.
It's so crazy, right?
It really does reflect sort of American culture in a way. Yeah. That like, okay, sex in general is a positive thing, at least. Yeah. I mean, it's not appropriate, but like, don't let your kids watch it, right? But like some of the violence and gore that is allowed on, I'm like, okay, and really? And they couldn't show like a little bit of side boob, but like we can see this person get shot 20 times? Like,
honestly,
it's bizarre to me. Yeah. But again, yeah, you know.
It's kind of hypocritical in a lot of ways to me, I think.
Yeah.
And it is kind of an American thing, I think. I mean, in Canadian and British television, a lot more goes. And so
especially regarding sex, I would say.
Especially regarding sex and obscenities as well.
Yes.
And so, you know, even in prime time, you know, along with, you know, appropriate warnings. So mm-hmm. we tend to kind of get away with a lot more of that kind of stuff. There doesn't tend to be quite as much violence. I don't know if that's just more of a reflection of our society or just they won't allow it on our networks, one or the other. But yeah, that sort of imbalance of let's be super violent, but no sex.
Yeah, it's weird. It's bizarre.
That seems to be more of an American thing.
It really is.
I mean, a lot of people have picked up on it, I think. So it's pretty egregious.
It is.
And yet, this is where we're at. So we get what
this
we get. But that's
where
what HBO is for, I guess. And all the other wonderful streaming and cable services.
This is why we're sitting here on an X-Files podcast discussing nasty, gross moments and not talking about the amazing Mulder and Scully sex scene that we never got.
Honestly.
So
thank God for fanfic.
Right. Mm. Right.
I'm sending all my love to fanfic writers, right?
All right, where are we at?
Where are we? Have you given your number 8 yet, Annie?
No, I think we're on my number 8.
All right, go for it.
My number 8 is from the season 2 episode F Emasculata.
Oh, fuck yes.
I think everybody knows what I'm going to be saying here. And again, this is a cold open. I have a lot of mine that are cold opens too. The whole thing is gross, but like particularly when the guy's in the jungle and like, Jen, it's so fucking gross. He's like over this body of some animal and it's covered in like roaches, okay, like to make it even worse. And then he's like, as if he's like popping a zit in front of the mirror or something, he's like, wonder what's inside here, and he just like squeezes it, and then it squeezes in his face, which we all knew was gonna happen, and then he like licks his lips. I do not know this actor was doing this to be intentionally gross, or is that his natural reaction when something nasty gets squirted in your face to just like slurp? It was so gross. I'm like, are you kidding me? And it worked because it made it even more gross. But I was just like, you deserve to get sick. You're so stupid. Like, why would you pop that thing? You don't have a mask on. You don't, like, oh my God. I can't even think about that scene without being like, this guy was an idiot. I can't.
Yeah.
But besides the fact that the guy was an idiot, it was just disgusting. It's disgusting. Yeah. And so that's my number 8.
Oh, God. I mean, F Emasculata had to be on one of our lists, so I'm glad you took the bullet and put it on yours.
Mm.
Although I did watch the scene, but man, that's one of those, the whole episode I can't really watch because it's too much for me. I mean, it's the combination of I think, did you use the word pustules in your notes? Yeah, could you send me a little note about what scene you were using?
Exploding pustules. Because yeah, you see the pus. Like you see the pus start to dribble.
Pustules. God. That was the last, that was the very last scene I watched when I was going through all the scenes to rewatch for our for this episode tonight. That was the one that I was looking forward to the least. And I said to my husband, nothing good comes of the word pustule. Like there's, that's just, that is a big red flag right there. And
that's a big no thanks.
It was a big no thanks. So not only do we have pustules, which are inherently horrible, but yes, all these like roach things too.
That was just an added element.
Why? Yeah. Like, do we have to have that too?
Did apparently, that need to be there? Do. Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
They're just piling on because so we've got the pustules, we've got the bugs. And then like, he's also like being attacked by this vulture after he dies, which is also kind of gross. So everything about it is horrific. Mm-hmm. And yikes is all I can say. And oh God, the lip licking. God.
By the way, Jen, yikes is all I can say should just be the tagline for this episode. So, well done.
Yeah, I said a lot of yikes when I was watching this, actually, out loud to myself. I had a very visceral reaction to each and every one of these scenes, even the ones that I picked and chose to watch. Yikes. Anywho.
All right, we're on to your number seven. Yep.
Lucky number seven. My number seven is from one of my favorite episodes, Irresistible, from season two. There's a lot of just like horrible concepts throughout Irresistible. There's not that much actual sort of graphic sort of visuals, except for me, the moment when near the beginning of the episode, we see an unearthed corpse that has also been mutilated. And it's like on screen for like all of about 4 seconds, I think I timed it at. But holy crow, did that image ever stuck with me. I mean, first of all, we have like a semi-decomposed corpse, which is already really horrible. And something about the juxtaposition of this decomposing
corpse.
Yeah, the
way the arms are kind of like the way the arms around. Are twisted around.
And yet, you know, it's obviously a woman who was obviously buried in a very pretty little dress. And so we see this like beautiful little floral dress on this horrible corpse, which we also learned was sort of desecrated with like having hair and nails sort of torn off. And yeah, it's all twisted up and weird and awful and yikes. It's awful. I mean, you know, Scully's even shaken up by it, you know, for a lot of reasons in that episode, but it is quite sort of horrible in and of itself. And Mulder's like, I prepared myself for it before we left Washington. So even he had to prepare himself it. I wish I had
Scully's
been given
like, time. Bitch, you couldn't give me a heads up?
I could have stood to that. And I could have personally, as a viewer, used a little time to prepare myself as well, because it was just like, whoa, what's happening? So that's one of those things that I'm always surprised they managed to get through, because that is a really horrible image.
Yeah.
And I mean, I know that Standards and Practices really took quite a machete to Irresistible in a lot of different ways, but they managed to get that in. And I mean, it serves the story really well, because I mean, we do need to convey a lot of horror about what's going on in this episode, and we don't see a lot. And so there's nothing wrong with having one horrible image at least to kind of convey the horror of this episode. And because the episode is so much about how Scully is affected by what's happening and, you know, everything that's going on with her psychologically, we have to see something, I think, to kind of convey that. And they do it really well. And that is my number seven, The Unearthed Horrible Body and Irresistible.
I think that's a really good, interesting pick. I think, as you said, it's true that like we sort of see that through Scully's eyes. And I think her reaction, I think, can affect our reaction, because we're seeing her reaction and thinking, wow, like this is something that's really gruesome to be looking at. And it makes me think, too, like we don't see, I mean, in X-Files, we do see a lot of dead bodies. That's all we see. But like in terms of like, and this isn't a crime scene photo. This is a burial. But like, it makes me think of like, I love true crime. Like I love listening to true crime podcasts and watching true crime documentaries. Like, I don't know why I have like a fascination with it.
Oh, lots of people do these days.
Yes. And a lot of the time though, they will not show those sorts of photos of like the deceased at the crime scene or whatever, because, you know, out of respect, like it's just like, and so
it's just too much.
Yeah. And so the fact that we can
and I don't want to use the word get to, but that we get to see this, and it's clearly it's a television show, so this is a fake body or it's staged or whatever, is the reason we get to see it. It's not a real person that we're seeing. Mm-hmm. Kind of makes it all the more unique because it's not the sort of thing that we see often.
That's right.
And I do like what you're saying about, like, I think it's not just like in The X-Files a lot of time, okay, we see a skeleton or we see somebody that's just laying there and they're dead or whatever. But this is like, it's the particular way that this corpse has been mutilated. It's turnaround. It's very effective. It's affecting, chilling. And you see that and feel that with Scully. And it is, gross? Yes, it's gross. But like, I don't want to I don't want to use the word denigrate, but denigrate that by saying just, oh, this is gross, because it's just very terrifying. But it is also gross for sure.
Yeah.
So
gross
I really
and
like
scary.
Yeah, and it's just haunting. I really like that you picked that because it's not necessarily like, okay, it's a dead body. This is something that Scully and Mulder should be used to seeing all the time. But it's the way this body is that makes it unique and very terrifying. And so really nice pick.
Thank you. What's your number 7, Annie?
All right, my number 7 is from an episode most people probably skip on their watches. this is the episode Travelers, which I actually really enjoy as an episode. It's, there's no MSR at all, but it is a really kind of cool story. But these creatures in this episode are so fucking scary to me. I, again, don't know how this happened. Like, how did this make it onto air? Like the scene in particular that I'm thinking of is when, like, the guy, he attacks that detective, right, the partner of the main detective, and this creature with like four spiny legs like comes out of the guy's mouth and then just like goes into the other guy's mouth. Like, it just goes from mouth to mouth, and it's like this bug thing, I don't know, some alien creature. It's just disgusting. And like that image of the guy, of the four legs like coming out of that guy's mouth, that haunts me. And those noises, it's like that raspy breathing, and it's just coming out, and this poor guy is alive while this is happening. It's just so gross. I know you're gonna see a theme coming up with some of my ones that I really, really hate, but like, I just hate things coming out of people and like oh, it's disgusting. And so it's a kind of deep cut, yes, but I will never forget it. When I think of Travelers, that's what I think of, is these creatures. And so, well, besides the Mulder wedding ring debacle, which also comes up. But I do think of these creatures first and foremost. So that's my number 7.
That is a great choice. And I think you're right that a lot of people skip it because, no MSR. But so I haven't watched it in a while myself, and I kind of blocked out those creatures and specifically that scene from my mind, as I think I did for self-preservation. But like, it's already bad enough that there's a creature coming out of somebody's mouth. That's horrible.
Right.
And then like straight into this other guy's mouth. Oh. No. Like, it's like two horrors in one. Something exiting your body and something entering your body. Those are two horrible concepts happening at the same time in this moment. And it is bad. It's just like, it's very unique. I mean, it's not something you see very often.
No,
it's an imaginative concept to show. It's an interesting visual, but oh my god, is it ever horrific. So I mean, I think the fact that you, as you said, the fact that it's what you think of when you think of Travelers, I think that's the true measure of what makes a sort of a standout, gross-out scene, is if it sticks with you, then it obviously, it had the impact that was intended.
Yep.
Because, there's a lot of television that I've watched that I've never thought of again, but yet there's some of these moments on The X-Files that, 25-odd years later, I can still remember exactly how I felt when I first watched them. And I think that's probably true of everything on my list. These are ones, they're not necessarily what I think that... I think your list, Annie, tends to be, I think, subjectively speaking, I think your moments are grosser than mine, generally speaking, by the usual definition of gross. Largely because I have blocked a lot of those out of my memory. But the ones on my list tend to be the ones that just stuck with me for whatever reason. And so those are the ones that I guess, that are kind of special to me in a really gross way. But because I'm not usually into the gross stuff, I sometimes do forget some of the, like, I think F Emasculata is one example that I had a vague memory of that episode, but that I just keep it deliberately vague and gauzy in my brain.
It's not one that I go to. It's not one that I'm like, I'm sure in the mood for some exploding pustules. Like, it's not. But, like, you know.
Yeah. And this episode, Travelers, is, there's a lot happening in this episode. And I would not have thought, like, if we were going to talk about gross out moments, I wouldn't have, Travelers would not have been one of the episodes that sprung to mind.
There's a lot of elements in that episode. And this is maybe not something people remember. But, like, give this episode another watch, because
the really sort of horror element to it, I had completely forgotten. So it's really horrific. And I think, thank you for including that, because I hadn't watched it in a long time and it was very, very interesting to watch. So
you're welcome.
Great pick. I mean, it's really horrible and disgusting in a very interesting and unusual way. So kudos to you for that horrific pick.
So, Jen, I believe we are on your number six.
Number six is from season six, interestingly enough, the episode Milagro, which is an episode we've discussed a few times before. It's one that we both like a lot.
Just a few.
This, again, is a cold open scene, and it's our friend Philip Padgett. He's just, you know, sitting there writing his book. He just kind of strolls over to the mirror and decides to reach in and pull out his heart for reasons that are unclear.
Oh,
but he's very calm about it.
Yeah.
And just, oh, here's my heart, still like quivering with like bits still attached to it. This is like a very, to me, not that I'm an expert, but it looks like a very anatomically correct heart.
It's a great prop. Yes.
It's a great prop. It doesn't look like it was very cleanly excised. It really does look like it was pulled out and it got, like, you know, took some of the aorta or whatever with it. And that's all kind of like moving around. And yeah, he's just standing there very calmly with his heart in his hand, literally. And we don't have any clue why. We don't have any clue what's happening. But it's incredibly effective, incredibly gross. And, you know, the ripping out the heart thing, of course, becomes, you know, a consistent image throughout that episode and also has a certain amount of thematic imagery to it. And, you know, we see Kevin, the young man, getting his heart ripped out later on, although to me it's not quite as graphic and horrific as this opening scene is.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of pretty terrifying and unpleasant things happening in Milagro, but this for me is by far the worst. So that is my number six.
Look, that's a really great pick. I mean, you knew, Jen, that we were not going to get out of this without me making an Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom reference, right?
I didn't know that, but I'm glad that you're doing
okay.
it.
Okay. Because that's what I always think of when I watch this. Because that movie terrified me to my very soul as a child.
Okay.
But here, I think what's so great, and let me just say, preface this by saying it is the greatest Indiana Jones movie in existence. I will take no opposition. No, I'm not, saying that.
We're going to have a conversation about that another day.
Okay. Wait. Raiders of the Lost Ark is the best one, but Temple of Doom is by far my favorite, and that is where the conversation will end.
Okay.
But I agree, Raiders.
Well, there's no arguing about favorites. If it's your favorite, that's fine.
I will agree with you, because I'm assuming you're going to say Raiders is the best.
I agree with you.
Raiders is the best. It is, it is empirically the best, but Temple of Doom has always had a close spot
that's
to my
fine.
Heart. I love it.
That's all good. That's all good.
But I can't watch the scene without thinking of that, because it's so iconic. But I love, like you say, what's so chilling about this scene is that he is so calm. He's just sitting there and he's just like, oh, okay, I guess I'm gonna take out my heart. I mean, there is no like om nom chibai, om nom chibai, om nom chibai, like there's no like flaming fire and like evil like helmets approaching and like people in terror. Like, it's a completely different scene, so they can get away with it. It's totally different. But you're totally right. It's a really creepy scene. And I like to, one of my favorite details is like, you don't quite know what he's doing, because he's under his shirt. Like, you don't, it's not like Temple of Doom where you see the hand like go into the chest and just pull it out. Like, you don't know what's happening. And that kind of makes it creepier, because his hand's in there and you hear some like squishy sounds, and then you see the blood kind of going onto the shirt. It's a really cool effect. It's really well done. And then when he pulls the heart out, you're like, what the fuck am I watching? And then, like I said before, it's a great prop. It's a gross prop. And like, it has like the rough use of the whole, like entrails, like dangling. Yes! It's so gross. So good. It really good pick. And I mean, I wouldn't have thought of it because this isn't one of the episodes that jumps to my mind when I think of disgusting episodes, but you're completely right. It's a great pick.
Ooh, thank you. And I think that's a really great point you've made about how we don't see him removing the heart. We just see him holding the heart after, which I think is cool. I mean, in some ways, it probably would have been more disgusting if we saw him taking it out. But I think it would have been like too distracting in a way. I think that him holding his heart in his hand is meant to be the key image of that scene.
Right.
And if we were distracted by seeing him take it out, then I think that we wouldn't have noticed that end image of holding it.
Right.
Because the ripping it out would have been all we remembered, I think.
I mean, all they needed was really for it to be functional. Like, I don't, I think the purpose of this scene was not to gross out. Like, yes. I don't think that was the purpose of this scene. I think that still is achieved and it is still intentional. But I don't think like the purpose of this scene is a gross out moment. Like, this is like, it's meant to sort of be an intriguing / symbolic moment, but also in the way of the X-Files, it's disgusting. So, great pick. Love it.
Nice. Thanks. What's your number six?
Okay, my number six is one, I don't know, people might think would be higher on our lists, but so many of these are gross to me that I had to put it at number six. Sanguinarium, which I think a lot of people would agree is probably one of the most disgusting episodes of the series. Yeah. In particular, again, the cold open. This doctor, it's again in the performance, like the visuals of him got those pipes or those tubes in this person and like the fat's coming out and it's like, and it's going through the pipes and it's going in the thing and it's so disgusting and you see it happening and then it slowly turns into blood and then it's not just turning into blood, but it's like just blood, like going through that pipe. All of that is disgusting. But I think the most disgusting thing about this scene is just how intensely this guy is jabbing. Like, he is so intense. And I mean, I think that makes the scene. It's kind of like we were talking about Nick Lay earlier. The way he's acting it makes the scene. The way he is, you can tell that this guy is being so affected by what's happening. We're almost more focused on what the fuck is up with this guy than we are about the nasty shit coming out of his pipes and his tubes and like all the lipo. And it's so disgusting. Not that I would ever have thought to consider plastic surgery in my lifetime, but this definitely turned me off of it. Let me tell you, because I am just so disgusted by the scene. So you know what?
Ugh.
People hate Sanguinarium, but I think that Sanguinarium has performed a public service because it is going to make a lot of people reconsider plastic surgery. And that's my number six.
That's a great pick. Sanguinarium, I think, is one of those episodes that it should have been on one of our lists. So again, I'm glad that you took the time to find the grossest part of Sanguinarium because I did not want to do that. I don't watch Sanguinarium, not surprisingly. But, you know, I watched this scene, obviously, so that we could discuss it and I could appear to be somewhat intelligent in my response to it. And I have to say, it's incredibly disgusting. It was the second last one I watched, actually, before FMS got out because I knew it was going to be bad. The sounds, again, the squelching sounds. You did a fine imitation of
it,
actually. That's pretty horrible. To me, plastic surgery already is kind of a disgusting concept.
Yes.
And so anything to do with plastic surgery already seems really gross to me. So using that as kind of the basis already makes it quite horrible. But you're absolutely right. The performance, the character is what makes it compelling and just makes it more horrible because he is clearly violating this patient.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's gross, but it's fascinating at the same time. Mm-hmm. I'd forgotten how riveting it is, actually.
Traumatic.
Because,
I actually don't hate this episode. Like, there are parts of it that I skip, but I don't think it's a bad episode. And Mulder and Scully both look so fucking good in it. So there's that.
Truly. I had forgotten it's actually a pretty good episode. Like, you watch, that is a great cold open.
Yes.
You watch that. And it's shot really interestingly, actually. There's a lot of close-ups, and it looks just a little different. I don't remember who the director is for that episode, but it's very interestingly shot. It looks a little different than we sometimes see on the X-Files. To me, not that I'm an expert at all in horror, but it feels very much like the way a horror movie would be shot. Mm-hmm. And it really, like you say, you can see, you know, the tubes, and you
see Kim Manners, all these, by the way.
Of course, the master himself. Of course it is. He knew what he was doing. He really went all the way with the horror on that, I think.
Yep.
And did an amazing job, of course, and made it really compelling. And yeah, as horrible as it is, it is quite sort of draws me in. And I got to say, I might have to watch the rest of Sanguinarium now for the first time in many years, because I am kind of like, what is up with that guy? I don't even remember what happens here. So yeah. I think I might have to watch this episode, because it's disgusting but fascinating at the same time, which is what The X-Files does best.
Yeah, and I think what you said earlier about the direction being a huge key element, like, I don't remember which episode we were talking about, but the idea that sort of less is more, maybe it was the Bad Law thing, where we're talking about, like, the more that it leaves to your imagination, almost the more terrifying. And I mean, you're definitely seeing a lot, but it's very, it's almost abstract, like the way this is being directed. You know what I mean? Like, you're not seeing exactly where the pipes are. I keep saying pipes. I mean tubes. I don't know why I keep saying pipes. This is not Super Mario World. I don't know why I'm saying that. Where the tubes are being really stuck. I mean, you see it at the end of the cold open, but like, you don't really see exactly the mechanics of what is happening. You're just kind of seeing bits and pieces of, like, you're seeing the goo come out and the fat and like little pieces, and you're sort of left to imagine what is exactly going on here. And I feel like it's more terrifying for that reason. And
absolutely.
Just a really, really well-directed, terrifying cold open and disgusting.
Ugh. Absolutely. That moment when so much of it is focused on the tubes, and that moment where it goes from like being like fat to blood is just so chilling.
Yeah.
And it's not necessarily like a particularly, like you say, it's not a super graphic scene.
Right.
But it is still really horrific at the same time.
Well, and it tells
really
a story
disgusting.
With something
it
very
does.
Simple. Like, all you're seeing is this fat, which is, I honestly think the fat is grosser than the blood. I just need to say.
Yeah, I tend to agree.
Ugh, I'm just, But you're seeing that. All you're seeing is the fat come out, and then suddenly the blood's coming out. And like, that's all you need to know something has gone terribly wrong. Yeah. And that's all you need to tell that story. You don't really need to know exactly what's happening. Yeah. And I think that's brilliant. Well done, Kim Manners.
It's such a great, the whole cold open honestly feels almost like a short film to me, because it's like, there's so much happening and it's so interesting, and you could almost somehow stop it there and just leave everything else to the rest of your imagination.
Yep.
It's just so interesting. It's well written, well directed, well acted. Everything about it is just spot on.
It is effective as a small, like, 5-minute section of film. It's just extremely effective on its own. Yeah. Well,
it really
done.
Is. So, yeah, great pick.
Thank you.
Your where are
number,
we now?
We're on your five? Number five. Yep.
Five. Okay. My number five is from the episode Squeeze, the third episode of The X-Files, specifically the moment where Mulder and Scully discover Toombs's bile-filled nest.
Ooh.
And that moment when Scully says, I think it's bile. And of course, Mulder has that great line, is there any way I can get it off my fingers quickly without betraying my cool exterior? Also awesome.
Well, of course, he's already got his frickin' fingers in it. Because
exactly.
He's Mulder.
I wrote down that should teach Mulder not to stick his fingers everywhere, but clearly it did not, because he kept doing it. He does not learn. But yeah, dude, what are you doing? And again, it's kind of like the response and the acting here is so great, especially Scully, and this look of sort of like slight disgust on her face, and talking about the smell. I literally feel like I can smell it too when I watch that, because of Jillian's performance, and just the texture of the fact that it's the smell, the sort of tactile sensation of it being on Mulder's fingers, all of that makes it particularly disgusting. And when you and I discussed this idea of doing a top 10 episode of the grossest moments, this was the scene that sprang into my head. And so I thought, well, if that's the first thing I think of, it's got to be up relatively high on my list. So that's, to me, that's one of the quintessential gross out moments that has stuck with me over these many years. And it's kind of, it's the first monster of the week on the X-Files. And they just went balls to the wall right from the very beginning and just really showed us what they were going to be about. And they executed it really well. It was, you know, we don't see that much, but it's just really well conveyed in what they did. I don't think it took a huge amount of budget, but they did such an awesome job with it and made it really horrible and really gross and really real feeling. And so I was always, that has always stuck with me. So that's my number five.
That's a great pick. You know, it's funny, I don't think about that because I'm always so distracted by, like, just how pretty Mulder and Scully look.
It's just classic.
But you're totally right. And this is what's so great about this one, too, I think, is that it's so unique. Like, yeah, you could probably have gross liposuction or, you know, nasty pustules in anything. But, like, you're never, ever, ever going to have another bile newspaper hibernation nest. Like, that's never going to exist on another episode of any other show, except Tombs, but that doesn't count, ever again, because that is so specific to this episode. And I mean, again, like, we take it for granted, I think, because it's like we're just so used to Squeeze. Like, it's Squeeze, you know, but, like, it's just so
it's just
gross.
Bile. Yeah. It's a bile filled nest. It's no big deal.
NBD. It's just bile. No big deal.
But it's gross.
You know what I was just thinking of, what popped into my head, though, when you were talking about Scully's reaction when she, like, think about it that from Scully's perspective. This is, like, her second case, right?
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, I think it's bile. I would love, like, a super cut of Scully through the years, like, ooh, it's bile, to, like, literally Scully pointing a gun at a tiny little Indian man that escaped the buttocks of some fat man. Like, like, what a journey Scully has taken.
Truly. Like, I mean, like, this was back in the day when she was grossed out by bile.
I mean, and, right? She's like, oh my God, it's bile. I'm just like, oh, honey, you have no idea. Oh,
she
man.
Definitely built up a little bit of a tolerance for that sort of thing as they went along. It's so early on, like in the pilot, even, like, Mulder says something like, you know, have you seen or done anything like this in terms of, like, seeing a body that's been exhumed or something along those lines? And Scully's like, yeah, I don't think I have. Like, I'm not quite sure how I'm going to react. And I'm like, oh dear, Scully, you have got a lot to come. And you came a very, very long way from that. It's so great.
It's funny because I don't mean, when I say that, I don't mean to demean your disgusting moment, because it is disgusting. But I just mean in particular her reaction to bile.
Yes.
Like, just bile. Like, horrible. You're a doctor, honey. Like,
I know, right? That makes it worse for me, because it's like, God, if Scully, a medical doctor, is this put off by the smell of bile, it must be really horrific.
I mean,
so that that makes it worse for me.
I mean, she's probably looking at Mulder's fingers going, oh God. I was going to make a dirty joke, but I won't. sorry.
I was thinking, like, I had, like, it was one of those times where I had, like, about five jokes at once spring into my head, and I just couldn't decide which one I was going
to
use.
We were all thinking it, so no one needs to say it. but yeah, really great pick. Very classic. I'm glad it's in your list.
Thank you. I mean, I love picking the stuff from the early days, so I love it. Now, what is your number five, Annie?
All right, my number five is from your all-time favorite episode, Jen. No, I'm just kidding. This is from The Gift in season 8. But okay,
I'm
sorry.
It is my all-time favorite episode.
There are not things that we remember too much about this episode other than Mulder exists inside it.
Yeah.
It deals with the brain disease, which most people enjoy forgetting. And this nasty ass vomiting scene.
God.
What the fuck were they thinking? Okay, I need to say, this would be my number one if I didn't think people would think I'm crazy, because I have a phobia of vomit. I have an aversion to vomit. We off mic a few moments ago, Jen and I were just talking and laughing about the scene in Family Guy where everyone's vomiting all over the floor, and this is something I do often in my job, is draw people vomiting constantly. In animation, it's fine, okay? It's like
hilarious.
It's funny and it's fake and it's good. This was like, This man is vomiting into like cookie cutter people holes. And the vomit looks like vomit. It is disgusting. And it's just, it's like, like it's just like going out and filling it up. And it makes me like never want to make Christmas cookies again because disgusting. But it really, really, really looks like vomit. And it makes me want to vomit. And I don't like watching people vomit. Grosses me out. I've always had this weird phobia. I don't know if you ever watched this movie, Jen. Monty Python's Meaning of Life. It's a classic.
I haven't, but it's one of Sandy's favorites.
Okay, well, you know what the scene I'm talking about, where it's Mr. Creosote, and he's this giant fat man, and he's in the restaurant, and John Cleese is like, would you like a mint? It's wafer thin. And he's like, no, I can't eat another bite. And you know what's going to happen. He's just been vomiting this entire time all over the restaurant. And I don't know why, but when I watched this as a young person, it really had an effect on me. I don't know why. And this is a comedy movie. It's not meant to be. I mean, I think it's meant to be disturbing for sure. But it really had an effect on me. And it gave me this weird phobia of vomiting. Like, I was just like, that's disgusting. And so anytime there's vomiting happening, I'm just no. So I don't like this bit. I'm having trouble even talking about it. Like, I don't know if you can see me. Like, I'm having trouble making words. Can't talk about it. It's disgusting. That's my number five. Could be my number one, but for whatever reason, it's on number five. So there it is.
No, it's, you know, do we want to give the number one spot to something that makes us feel this ill to talk about? In a way, it's kind of like, it's just, do we want to glorify something this horrible?
Maybe not.
I agree. It is really disgusting. I had forgotten some of the intricacies of how this all went down in terms of how this worked. I remember the vague concept of the plot of The Gift, but I did not remember this specific scene, but yeah, what the fuck is happening?
Like, he's vomiting these people back to life, essentially. Literally, Doggett is killed, and then he is vomited back to life. Could you ever sleep with that man again?
Knowing he's composed of vomit, basically.
I mean, I hope no one ever knows, because I don't know if I could come back from that.
I don't think I could. Yeah, into these like gingerbread man shapes.
Right? Let's make these people back again. Let's just make people shapes and they're going to become people again. It's really stupid, but at the heart of it, it's just disgusting.
It is disgusting.
Their goal.
It's disgusting and stupid at the same time. And I'm with you. Vomiting is a really horrible thing. I can't stand the sound of vomiting on television. And so if I'm watching a show and anyone's vomiting, or even if someone's like coughing really hard, I literally have to turn the volume down because I can't take it.
Yeah.
And yeah, like vomiting phobias are actually quite common, I think. So you're in good company.
Okay,
and I mean, everyone finds it unpleasant, but you know, for some people it's like an extreme aversion. And so I get it. I mean, I have phobias myself, so I know that it can be, it's the kind of thing that odd things will trigger it. So I know exactly what you're talking about.
For me, it's the smell.
The Monty Python movie. The smell is
I have to tell another story, another vomit story.
Let's do it.
I'll keep it quick. One time, a friend of mine brought me those Harry Potter every flavor beans. Okay. This is a real thing. Okay. There is a vomit flavored every flavor bean.
No.
And I don't know why, but I was like, how can somebody know what vomit tastes like? Like, it still boggles my mind that vomit tastes the same to everybody, because in order to know that for sure, that means somebody at some point had to eat vomit, right?
Now,
right?
I think it's based entirely on the smell, isn't it?
I don't know.
They just created a flavor from the smell.
I spent far too much time thinking about this, Jen, because I was just... And anyway, as a result of a dare, I did eat the vomit-flavored jelly bean.
Oh.
And let's just say it was a trigger. It I do not recommend this. It absolutely tastes like vomit. Do not do it. Just don't.
No, that's a horrible thing.
And I actually, it's interesting because I just realized that I got a packet of those Birdie Bot flavored beans for my daughter, who's turning 8 tomorrow. And I'm terrified there's going to be a vomit flavored one in there and she might accidentally eat it. What am I going to do?
Okay. Let's hope not. Let's. Just,
I'm going to have to go in and remove all of the orange ones. I don't care what they are. They're gone. But anyway, just a little PSA. Don't do it. Just don't.
No, I would have probably not done it anyway, but I appreciate your insight into this
match. I was being brave, Jen.
You were very
brave.
And
I might have been drunk. It happens.
Might have, but you know what? My therapist would say, good for you for like facing your fear. Yes. So, you know, he'd be all for that. I think that's great. Vomiting is bad. Vomiting people that you've somehow consumed in their dead state into a gingerbread man cutout to bring them back to life is even worse.
Yeah.
And so I'm very glad you mentioned this one because there's a few things on the X-Files that are like, they are disgusting, but they're almost like funny in a way. Like they're so bad, they're almost funny. Yep. And this one's kind of in that category. I don't think it's intended to be funny at all. But it kind of comes out that way. But it's the only way that I can kind of find that episode entertaining is if I get some amusement out of that. And so that's what I choose to do, is find it amusing more than anything else, because it's just so ridiculous.
It really is.
But also horrific at the same time. And yeah, like, I mean, God, the sounds again. No, I can't hear it.
Yeah. Ugh. Anyway.
No.
Let's move on. What is your number four?
God, we've still got like, These are the worst ones.
I know. We have eight more to go, Jen.
They're the worst ones.
Already hit my limit.
Anyone needs a little break, just, you know, feel free to take one. But we're going to plow on through.
We are. We're going to keep moving forward.
Okay. This is a little different, I think. My number four is from Je Souhaite from season 7, the penultimate episode of season 7. Great episode. We've talked about it before in passing, what an awesome episode it is. But there's this part of the episode that I cannot watch, and it's the beginning, it's the first scene after the credits, where Anson's boss has had his mouth removed through Anson's wish, his wish for his boss to shut up,
and then reconstructed
his mouth disappears. He has no mouth, which is already pretty bad, and then he like somehow they have attempted badly, I think, to reconstruct his mouth. I suppose it's still a very fresh wound when he comes to see the good folks at the X-Files. And he's got this horrible sort of disfigurement of this quasi mouth with all these stitches. And he like keeps dabbing at it with a cloth. So it's like oozing a little bit, I think. And like he can't really talk properly because it's obviously really painful as well. And it's just awful. I mean, it's played for laughs to a certain extent. Like Scully is like, you know, she has this kind of like odd reaction to it.
Yeah, yeah,
And so I think it's meant to be slightly comic, but to me, all it is horrifying. And I can't bear it. I can't watch it. I can't hear him trying to talk in that horrible little weird mouth voice that he's attempting to speak with, because he can't really use his mouth properly anymore, so he can't speak properly anymore.
I do love how Mulder is like, it's okay. I'll say it. Yeah. Like, it's very sweet of him. Please don't talk.
Don't talk any more than you have to. Yeah. Jay, the boss, he obviously is kind of an ass to Anson, but he doesn't seem like a bad guy. I don't think that horrible thing to happen to him. He seems like a nice enough fellow.
Yeah, this is one of those things, too, that when I watch it, it's funny, because when I saw that come up in your episodes, that I knew that's what you were talking about for some reason. Yeah. I immediately went to that because it affected me as well, because you imagine what would that be like to have your mouth have to actually be cut out and created, like, and it's again, it's disgusting, but it's also kind of terrifying and compelling, you know. It's kind of interesting. Yeah, and especially in the heart of a comedy episode, like you said, they play it for comedy, but it's still very disturbing.
It really is even that initial moment where he just suddenly is without a mouth.
Yes,
that almost freaks me out more in a way. It's less sort of visually horrifying, But I find it more disturbing. I feel really like a sense of almost claustrophobia, like I can't breathe, even though you still have your mouth, you can breathe fine. But it would just be so freaky to suddenly not be able to open your mouth. And that freaks me out. I'm already in a freaked out state from that. And then the horrifying, he's all stitched up thing. Horrible.
I also have to give a shout out. I feel like they completely ripped that off of The Matrix. I need to say that because The Matrix had just come out the year before and that happens to Keanu Reeves. But
I've forgotten that.
Yeah. Just the idea of the mouth disappearing. The whole, yeah. The part that the X-Files did, like your moment, is the reconstruction of the mouth.
Yeah.
That gives him that's this sort of like, I wrote down, it's almost like a Jack Skellington grin. Because it's like the little stitches and stuff. That was obviously a new aspect of it. But I guarantee you they got that idea from The Matrix. I mean, they would have
had to. I'm sure you're right. But yeah, the recreated mouth. I mean, it's not great. I hope it healed better than it appeared at that time. Because
yeah, we need a they now with this poor guy.
How's poor Jay the boss doing? Because he wasn't in good shape at that point. And I kind of feel like they must have been able to do a better job. He may have just needed a little bit more of a repair job. Not from the plastic surgeon from Sanguinarium, obviously.
No.
But yeah, I hope he got a better job done on it later on, because it was a terrible job from what I could see the first time around. And it's really horrific. Yeah. And it sets a sort of sinister tone, I think, which doesn't necessarily carry through for the episode, but I'm like pretty terrified from that moment on that something else really gross is going to happen. So, yeah. I mean, in that sense, it certainly grabs your attention.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's a great pick, and I like that it's in a comedy episode, because it shows that even when the X-Files is trying to be funny, it can still be gross.
So, absolutely. I mean, that happens throughout the X-Files, I find. On some of the comedy episodes have some really horrific stuff in it. So, I mean, the X-Files has always done such a brilliant job of balancing the different tones, including horror and comedy. And this is a great example, I think, of that. So I love the episode, and I find that moment horrific. And yet somehow I can't look away to a certain extent, because it is quite creative and unusual. And that's why it's my number four.
Love it. I mean, I don't love it, but I love your pick.
Yeah. Perfect.
All right. My number four is from the episode Signs and Wonders. Not one I rewatch very often for lots of reasons, but there's a scene that, again, I cannot believe made it onto air, where this woman gives birth to a bunch of snakes. Are they kidding? Like, it's gross enough to watch a birth on TV. I mean, we see that all the time. I mean, I don't want to be like, don't come after me. Birth is not gross. It's beautiful. But like, okay, we don't need to see this. It's disgusting. Like, she's screaming. She's in pain. This crazy, you know, zealot is chanting. Yeah. It's a very terrifying scene. And you feel so bad for this woman. And then you're like, oh my God, and she's giving birth. And then suddenly, snakes. Snakes. It's like, could this be more terrifying? Yes, actually it can, because snakes. I actually want to read this because I think this is really funny. I was like Wikipedia-ing some of this stuff.
Okay.
And it said something like, I thought this was so funny. At one point in the episode, Expulsion from the Garden of Eden, a famous painting by Italian early Renaissance artist Masaccio, appears in the background. Because the painting contains nudity, Fox's network executives took issue with the scene, forcing the show to censor the painting. Paul Rabwin, who I'm not sure who it is, but here he is. Oh, wait, hang on. Look at Wikipedia. He is a producer. Later noted that the network executive censors didn't feel it was appropriate for us to show all the details. Of course, they could see people giving birth to hundreds of snakes. That's okay. It just made me laugh so much, because that is so what a producer would say. That is so the truth. It's like, we can't show this famous painting that you could go see in a museum or any art book.
Yeah.
But it's cool to watch a woman literally pushing snakes out of her vag. No, that's fine. It made me laugh so hard when I was reading about this. And it's disgusting. It's so disgusting. It's creepy. What were they thinking? And that's my number four.
That is great, because, I mean, it is like, you know something horrible is going on in this scene because, yeah, there's something not right with this pregnancy.
Yeah.
There's something not right with whatever's going on here. And yeah, like all of the sort of the people there, the guy who's just freaking out with his religious sort of hallelujahs. But like, what's going to happen? What is going to happen? Is her baby in danger? Oh no, her baby's not in danger. She's just going to give birth to snakes.
We just got snakes, folks.
There's snakes. Like, honestly, who sees that coming? Not me.
No.
I did not expect it to be snakes.
It is wild.
Every time
I watch it, I'm just disgusted. And I'm just like, why is this a thing that happened? And why did I get to see it on primetime television? I don't understand. And never
God, like, she just had snakes, as it turns out. She was giving birth to a nest of snakes.
Oh, my God.
I mean, like, oh, I mean, and I can definitely imagine a lot of people who have phobias with snakes being like, no, never going to watch that.
No.
Because it's pretty, if you have a thing with snakes, which it's one of the few things I don't have an issue with.
I mean, same. Honestly, I don't have like a snake phobia, but
yeah,
it's
like,
still
I mean,
disgusting.
It's bad enough just for me with no having a snake issue. If you have a snake issue, then I can only imagine how horrific this would be because it's bad enough. The snakes are all very writhy too when they come out. They are writhing
slimy
and ready to go.
I will say, as a person who has birthed two children, yes, I would probably much prefer to give birth to snakes. I don't think that would hurt as much. Unless they were very bitey, but I don't want to think about that. I'm just thinking of the actual delivery. It would probably be much easier.
Yes,
we gotta find the silver lining somewhere.
We do, and they did seem to just slip right on out.
They just shot right out, right?
I don't think it works that way with babies, from what I gather.
Well, you know, not to get too graphic, but my second one shot right out like a log ride. So, but yes, my point stands that I don't think this birth would have been as painful as this woman is making it seem, but. Definitely more terrifying than any normal birth.
Definitely very, very freaky. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Snakes. Yeah, no. It's so bizarre that it's like, very creative. I'll give them that. I've never seen anyone ever give birth to a nest of snakes before.
Again, this is like the bile nest. It's very unique.
It's very X-Files.
It's never going to happen anywhere else.
It's crazy. That scene is insane. Yeah. And it's almost like I got to give them props for just how crazy that scene is.
Yeah.
And it's very well executed. I mean, boy, they went all out. They went all out with that scene, as they did with all of these. So props to them. Props for you for including that very interesting and unique scene.
No, thank you very much.
Excellent. Are we up to number three now?
Yes.
Boom. Okay, number three. Finally, we're getting to the revival.
Hmm.
My Struggle 4.
Oh,
everyone's favorite episode.
Oh,
no.
Yay.
That's a subject for another day, actually, but because I think My Struggle 4 has some very interesting moments in it.
Yeah.
And one of them is William's ability to make people's heads explode.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And the most disgusting moment of that talent that he has is when the folks that are after him find the car of this agent that was like pursuing William and had William in the car with him. They find the car and it's clearly the man has been exploded.
Yeah.
And there's just stuff everywhere. There's like bits of things, like maybe a bit of hair and scalp perhaps on the side window. The windows are just covered. The windows are covered in gunk. There's like, this is an example, like you were saying earlier, Annie, of they got away with a lot here because they look in the car and we see a lot. There are organs in there.
There's like intestines coming out. Like,
the intestines are very identifiable.
Nasty.
It's bad. That is horrible. That is really super disgusting. And we don't actually see the explosion happening. And it's not just people's heads. It's their whole bodies. We just see the after effect. And it's worse for me than it is when we actually see it happening. When we see William exploding people in the motel room with Mulder there.
Right.
honestly, I think that's just kind of cool when I see that.
I agree with that.
I find it less disgusting and more cool. And we don't seem to see quite as much of the entrails and such. And maybe because it's very less
quick.
It's very quick, and maybe it's less of a confined space. I think almost the worst part about the car scene is all the stuff on the windows. And so since it's in a motel room, there's, you know, everything is spread out throughout the room. So maybe that's why it's not quite as bad. But they don't seem to be quite as focused on the bits of people's bodies in that scene.
Also, and I, from what I recall, and I don't, it's been a while since I've watched Maestro before, but I think we see the car before we see actually what William can do in action, right?
We do
When we're seeing this car, we don't quite know what happened. I mean, we can kind of assume or we can guess what we think happened. Yeah. But it could be a number of things that
exactly. We know is that it resulted in something horrific.
Right. And so this, I agree with you completely. And I forgot how gross this is. That's what I wrote in my notes was like, wow, you're right. This was really bad. I didn't remember how gross this was. When you said my struggle four, my mind immediately went to William exploding the chick's head. But you're right, because I think when we see that happen later, we are prepared for it, and so we're more cool with it. Like, we're more like, oh, that's badass. Look what he just did, you know.
So that's how he did it.
Yeah. And so I agree with you that this is definitely grosser of the two. Yeah. And, yeah, I mean, it reminded me, too, give a shout-out of one of the ones on my short list is from the season 6 episode, The Beginning, when Mulder and Scully go in. Well, they don't find the guy. We see it in the cold open. But when the alien has, like, sort of birthed itself from his body, and you just see the body open, right?
Yeah.
And, like, you see all the guts inside, and it's just, like, and that's kind of what we're seeing here in a different way. But it reminded me of that just because it's the aftermath, and it's just, this is what Mulder and Scully would come upon all the time, is just this sort of shit, and it's disgusting. And really good pick. Really good sort of... again, another deep cut, but I like it.
Yeah, it definitely stuck in my mind. There's a lot of interesting and memorable moments from My Struggle 4, but that is something, the exploding bodies is something that I will always remember.
Yeah.
What is your number 3, Annie?
All right, my number 3. Okay, I have a thing, I know I've already told you this, about things like coming out of other things.
Right.
And I, in particular... have a weird thing, besides my vomiting weird thing. I have a lot of weird things, Jen.
Well, we all do.
I have a weird thing with the neck. Anything with the neck. I don't like when people slit throats. I don't like when people slice or cut. Okay, so Firewalker from season 2 checks all of my do not return boxes. Okay, it is disgusting. It's like these long, it kind of reminds me of Travelers, but like instead of coming out of the mouth, coming out of the neck. Like legit when these people are like they're craning their necks back and then these long creatures just burst out of their necks. Disgusting. And we see it like 2 or 3 times in the episode and I'm like, enough. Oh my God. It's so gross. And again, like, I don't want to even talk about it too much because it grosses me out. But that's my number 3. Gross.
Fair enough. That is pretty horrible. For me, the moment that I remember most from that episode with regard to the spory thing bursting out of people's necks is the scene immediately after we see it coming out of the guy's neck. And he's like laid out for autopsy and there's like plastic sheeting over him. But it has to sort of like tent over the thing that's still sticking out of him. That to me is like the almost the most vivid image is the moment afterwards. So it's a very sort of like a memorable moment and a very interesting concept.
Yeah, like who thought of that? Whose fucked up brain was like, this is gonna be fun?
Let's have like a giant asparagus. First you go to people's necks.
Because basically
particular.
That's what it looks like.
It kind of does. And then it just kind of like sticks there.
Don't
it
put me off asparagus,
there.
Jen. Because
I'm sorry.
In addition to being a carnivore, I do enjoy my asparagus.
Yeah, fair enough. Me too. I love asparagus, actually.
Yeah.
It's like, I think the X-Files, they just like, they came up with every different way for things to get into people's bodies and
come out
of people's bodies.
Oh, God.
And this one was quite an interesting one. And I had forgotten how horrible it was, actually. It's It's bad, for
it's
sure.
It's bad. And I don't rewatch this episode a lot. It actually is a really good episode, but like, I actually really do have a hard time watching shit happen to people's necks. Like,
that's fair.
There are movies that I enjoy watching over and over where I know someone's going to like get their neck slit or something, and mm-hmm, I can't mm-hmm. watch. Like, I physically have to turn away, yeah, especially when I know it's coming. Because I just I have a weird thing with my neck. I don't know.
No. Well, I think it's a really interesting point that we all have certain things that are particularly triggering for us.
Yeah.
Like, you know, for me, it's like anything to do with the eyes, mm-hmm. or anytime I have to hear someone vomiting. It's like anything to do with choking, anything like that. Those are my things. And you know, you've got the vomiting and the neck things, and I'm sure, you know, our listeners all have their own kind of things that are very specific that we just, for whatever reason, have formed in our mind as the things that really get to us.
Yeah.
And it's not rational necessarily, but for whatever reason, those are the things that really we find frightening and disgusting.
Well, and there's an X file for everyone in that
there
case. Like, they have literally been able to find a way to capitalize on like every single one of those fears.
Honestly, for real.
The only thing they didn't really do, and I'm kind of glad, is like, they, and correct me if I'm wrong, maybe I'm just blanking, but I have a huge spider phobia. They never did a spider related thing.
Not really. They did. They did the roach thing, of course, in War
different.
Of the Cockroaches, which is.
I don't have a phobia of roaches. I mean, roaches are gross, but like,
right.
I don't have a phobia
but
of
you,
roaches. Like,
but
I
you
do
would
have
find
spiders.
Like, you would find spiders.
I couldn't
worse
watch
than
it, Jen. If there were if War of the Cockroaches, I can't say it, had spiders instead of roaches, I couldn't watch it.
Okay,
I wouldn't watch it. I would have attempted to get through it once, and I would never watch it again.
Fair
I cannot
enough.
Handle spiders. And so I'm actually sort of glad that they never did do a Spider X-Files episode.
Thank God. Yeah, thank God. No, it's funny because I think I probably could have handled spiders better than roaches, but I have a thing with roaches. So
why are we talking about spiders?
Their things.
Sorry.
I know. How did this happen?
It was my fault. I brought it up. It was my own
fault. No, but like everyone has like their things, and like, yeah, the X-Files knows which buttons to press, right? They seem to have, you know, everyone behind the X-Files just had this real great instinct for what people find horrifying.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not always the most obvious thing. Some of them are, you know, fairly garden variety, but some of them are like, who thought of that? Because it's very creative and very horrific. Mm. And kudos to them, I guess, for being so horrifying and executing so well every time, too. Shall we move on to my number two? I don't think things are going to get a whole lot better.
They won't.
My number two... We're back to season 8 again. The episode Roadrunners.
Yes.
Yes, or as I call it, the Jesus slug and his cult. And I mean, there's a lot of awful things. I mean, an episode involving a parasitic slug obviously has a lot of horrific moments in it. And parasites definitely are one of my things too that I find super 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 disgusting and disturbing. And the worst scene, I think, of the whole episode is when Scully is trying to remove the slug from this, like, hitchhiker that's sort of semi-captive of the cult, Hank being his name. Mm. First of all, there's, like, this horrible wound in his back where the slug has entered, apparently. That's already horrible. Everything about that wound is disgusting.
Yeah.
And then we see there's something in there under his skin. And this is something quite common to a lot of our picks, actually. You see something underneath the skin before
like it, moving around.
Yeah, before you actually see it. And that is in itself always like a terrible, terrible thing. And I think the episode where it's done to greatest effect is Roadrunners, because we see the slug moving around. Scully goes in with like her pliers or something to grab it.
Oh my God. Oh.
And then it gets doubly disgusting.
She's
tenacious.
I mean,
it's bad enough. It's already bad, but yeah, she is tenacious. You go, girl. Mm-hmm. She goes in there to get the slug. She only winds up pulling out half
of it.
So we wind up with the double disgusting moment of Scully holding this sort of slug thing as it sort of wiggles around. And at the same time, we see the other half of the slug slithering back up Hank's spine under his skin. So it's just like, it's just a multicolored, multi-layered, horrific moment all the way around that there's a lot of disgusting elements to it. And I mean, it doesn't get a whole lot better from there in terms of how scary that episode is. It's it's a great episode.
A lot of the time these horrifying things happen, but don't necessarily happen to Mulder and Scully. This is not one of those moments because, I mean, you don't think this is going to happen to Scully, but it does.
Exactly.
Which makes it even more terrifying.
And yeah, and this we've set up how terrible this is for her with this scene.
Yep.
When we see it happening to Hank and when Scully sees it happening to Hank, so she knows what's going on.
Right.
And so, again, it's horrible in many ways and disgusting in many ways, but it does serve a story purpose.
Yes.
And it
Later is telling Doggett, just cut it out. Like, we are thinking, Doggett, cut it out. Like, we're not thinking, oh, my God, you're crazy. Don't do that. Yeah. We are thinking, get it out right now. Yeah.
It's like that is not a bad suggestion at all.
No.
So it does serve a purpose and it makes for a really horrific episode without necessarily a lot of super graphic things happening constantly through the episode.
Right.
But that scene really sets it up. And that is such I actually really love that episode.
It's a great episode. It might be my favorite episode of season 8. It really might.
It's right up there. I mean, I've always liked it, but I forgot how good it is on every level in terms of how the story is told.
It's creepy. It's scary. It's just, it's really good.
The acting of the people in that cult, because they just seem simultaneously nice and friendly and yet creepy and scary all at the same time. It's just so well done. So, side note, Roadrunners is a great episode. So, and that is a disgusting and great moment for me.
That's a great pick. I should say that I knew that you picked that. Otherwise, this would definitely have been on my list and probably right around the same place on my list, because this is up there for me for sure. Definitely one of the most disgusting moments of the series. And I think another thing worth pointing out, like we did with the heart in Milagro, is that slug is a great prosthetic thing, whatever. Like that moment where she's holding it and she's kind of cradling it like a baby. And it's just, it's so gross, but it looks so real and it looks so good. Really, obviously, I mean, I can't add anything to what you already said. It's a great pick. It would have been on my list, but I knew it was on yours. So I left it off so that we could have more on here.
Thank you for letting me have that one. And you're absolutely right. Like, it's so well done that at no moment did I think, oh, well, you know, interesting special effects or, you know, great special effects. It just seems real. And it really helps to convey the horror of the scene. And it is just really brilliantly played out and carried out by all involved. So, Roadrunners. What's your number two, Annie?
Love it. My number two... I'm hoping and assuming maybe people have been waiting for this one.
We'll see.
This is season 8, Dead Alive. This is the Billy Miles skin shower. Okay.
I mean, skin shower already.
Literally.
That just sounds awful.
It's disgusting. And I have to shout out, I think I have 3 season 8 episodes in mine, and you have a season 8 episode in yours. And season 8 was a team that they won Outstanding Makeup that year.
Right.
I believe that's 2000.
Nice.
I believe that's
I believe so too. Yeah.
So season 8 was really good in that department, must say.
Yeah.
But this scene, and keep in mind, everyone, this was my first episode of watching this show. So definitely stuck with me. I remember watching this with my mouth hanging open, like, what the fuck? It's so gross, and I love it, though. It's so good. It's really well done. It's like his feet. You see just the feet. You only see what you need to see. Like, the feet look kind of wrinkly, and they totally do look like how your skin looks after you've, like, been in the bath for 20 minutes, and you get out, and, like, your skin looks kind of white, and it's a little puffy, and it's gross. And when the water's coming down and, like, the little chunks of skin are just sliding off. And then there was that one part where, like, there's, like, a tiny little hole being created. It's like a little pocket that's just kind of, like, ripping open. And then, like, the weight of the dead skin, it just kind of pulls it down and like peels it off. It's so gross, but it's really well done. It's a great effect, and I love how it's like you're watching this and you're just like, oh god, I'm just gonna throw up, and then suddenly you see like the fresh pink lovely Billy Miles skin and you're like, yeah. Oh, he's Billy Miles again. This is lovely. It's not lovely at all, but
no.
I did want to read, I did a little bit of research on this and I wanted to talk about the effects here because
it's pretty
gross. In Miles' shower scene, a mix of red goo, which included strawberry jam, was placed on his skin. Fake skin created from thin pieces of urethane was then placed on top of this mixture, and warm water was pumped through to create the illusion of shedding flesh.
Wow.
While the studio approved the footage, Spot Frank, our good friend Frank Spotnitz, later called the sequence awfully graphic. Thanks, Frank. He was surprised the sequence got past censors since it would be difficult to show in a PG-rated film. Really? It's funny because when you think about the, again, when we're talking about like standards and practices and what they allow, like PG at a certain point was meaningless because I think Poltergeist was rated PG.
Wow.
And they had a scene where like skin was literally peeling off someone's face in Poltergeist, which just made me laugh because I was like, oh yeah. And also, since we're talking about all of this stuff and the fact that we brought up Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom earlier, I believe that Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom was the movie that created the PG-13 rating.
I can see why.
Yes. Not that I think it was the one that spurred the MPAA to be like, maybe we need a rating that's between PG and R.
Yeah.
Which was a good move on their part.
Yeah, because that's a pretty big gap. So,
yeah. So just thought that was interesting. And I liked the strawberry jam element. I'm going to think differently every time I make my toast in the morning. But
yum.
It was it's a great, disgusting, gross out moment, and I will always remember it. That's my number two.
That is great. I love Dead Alive. It's, you know, one of my favorite episodes, probably. I don't know if it's ever made my top 25, but I love it.
Yeah.
I sometimes forget about that scene, actually, because I'm just kind of enamored with everything that's happening, and I'd forgotten how gross it was, to be honest. Like, you mentioned that you're going to put that on your list, and I thought, that's not that gross, is it? And then I watched it, and I'm like, oh, God, it is. I'd forgotten how very detailed it is. And your description there of how they created it, it makes sense because it does look very detailed. I mean, they're so creative, aren't they, with how they do these things?
Yeah, and it looks real.
It looks very real.
If you told me that that's what skin shedding off looked like, I would believe you. I would be like, that looks good to me.
They're just so brilliant and creative with how they pull these things off.
Yeah.
And I'd forgotten how much blood there is because that's when things start to get pretty dodgy for me. Like, I'm okay up until the blood, and then it's like, oh God, no, this has gone from bad to worse.
Yeah.
And there's like quite a bit of like close-ups of that skin coming off. Like, it's not super subtle. It's like, I feel like that might have been one of those moments where they put in more than they had to, thinking it wouldn't get past standards and practices, and yet it did. So it kind of surprises me how graphic that is.
Yeah.
More than necessarily it possibly had to be to convey what was happening, but I mean, it's certainly riveting to watch and very well done.
Yeah.
And definitely ups the horror factor for that episode by quite a bit. So it's a great choice because I had not remembered it as being horrible as it is, but yes, it is quite horrible. Thank God at least he was in the shower so he could clean that shit off him.
Right,
so
that's true.
That's the only thing that's the saving grace for me, is that at least it's in the shower and he can clean that shit off right away.
Yep.
It's all plunking to the floor and everything. Just, they did such an awesome job. Like you say, it looks exactly like what you'd expect that to look.
Yeah.
The weight of it and everything looks exactly perfect. Mm-hmm, it doesn't look cheap or papery or anything. It looks real.
Yeah, you don't watch that scene, even though you're watching something that would never happen in real life.
Yeah.
You absolutely believe it. And I think that is what makes that scene so great and what makes it so scary and gross and effective, because it's perfect. It's very well done.
It's very believable and, you know, a very key part of the plot, too. We have to sort of understand what's going on, so right. we need to see it. So it's disgusting and important and interesting and creative, and I think that's great, that story of how they, all those elements they brought together to make it work, yeah. and it really did. They really pulled it off, so kudos to them as always. Are we on to number one now?
We are down to
are we
our
there?
Number one.
Thank God. Okay.
Grossest moment.
Grossest moment. All right. My number one, it's probably not going to be a huge surprise because I've talked about how much I love this episode before. Mm-hmm. It's Nothing Lasts Forever.
Okay. Yes.
From season 11, the penultimate episode. And there's a lot of gross moments in this episode. I would argue this is one of the goriest episodes of all the X-Files.
Yeah.
But, you know, to pick out one moment that is the most disgusting, it has to be the organ smoothie that gets made after. I mean, everything about that scene is horrible. First of all, they are sort of dismembering poor Warren, who has sacrificed himself for the group to be turned into an organ smoothie. And so that's already pretty horrible that he's practically still alive while they're taking stuff out of him. Yeah. That's already bad. But for me, it gets worse when we see the smoothie being made with all of these organs. The color of them looks so real and it's so vivid. And
the sound of the blender and like
the sound, the blender, the squelching sound as they're like putting the organs in. It's really bad. Like, I mean, I love that episode, but I realize that I've never really watched that particular part of the scene that carefully. I think I just kind of like my brain just blocks it out because it is bad. And of course, the whole time we have the wonderful Barbara Beaumont singing There's Got to Be a Morning After, which, you know, the X-Files, of course, are pros at combining what otherwise are fairly innocent songs with horrific moments. And here we actually have the singing as part of the plot. And the moment when someone hands her a glass of this delicious organ smoothie and she drinks it and she gets like a blood mustache on her lips. And that's almost, I don't even know if that's even like the best slash worst part. It might be. There's many best slash worst moments throughout that scene, and it's so disgusting, but to me disgusting and great at the same time, because it's just like it's over the top and horrific and almost with a hint of comedy at the same time, because Barbara Beaumont, there's always a hint of comedy with everything she does and a hint of horror at the same time. And it's, to me, it's just one of those moments I cannot look away. And it's disgusting and creative and bizarre and everything that I love about these kind of X-Files. And I love that episode. So that's my number one. It's from Nothing Lasts Forever.
I'm not surprised that Nothing Lasts Forever is your number one, but I love that you picked it. That was another one that was on my short list, but I was like, you know what? That's Jen's fave. I'm going to let her have it.
Oh, you know it.
But to what you said, I agree with you completely, but I don't think it's even a touch of comedy. I think this scene is a comedic scene.
Right.
I that sounds crazy, but I think it wouldn't have worked any other way. Like, feel like this scene is so gross and so disgustingly, ridiculously over the top that if they didn't play it alongside this element of comedy, her singing with the blood mustache and all that, that I don't think it would have worked.
Yeah.
It would have been too much, I think. Yeah. And so I feel like that is part of the genius of this scene, is the fact that we do have the wonderful Barbara Beaumont like singing and being ridiculous and having her milk mustache with organs. It makes the scene work, and it doesn't take away any of the grossness. In fact, it kind of amplifies the grossness, you know? Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, really, really great pick. I mean, there's also so much in this episode that's gross, that's also terrifying, that I do love that you picked this particular scene, because it is one of the grossest scenes. And I think for that reason, it's also one of the funniest scenes.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a great point. That's a great point about the comedic element of it. And you're right. It doesn't take away from the grossness. It does amplify it because of the juxtaposition between sort of the comedy and the horror.
Yeah.
The X-Files does that better than anyone, I think.
Yeah.
And this is a great example of it. And yeah, I think that's a great point as well, that if it had just happened in isolation as just a scene that happened without any of this other stuff going on, it would have just been like just awful and gross and probably would never have made my list because I would just never want to think about it again. And
it wouldn't have been compelling. Like you say, presenting it in this way makes the whole scene compelling. And
it does.
Yeah.
It's a very compelling scene, I have to say.
Yes.
I mean, as much as I can't stand watching gore normally, this is just one of those scenes that, you know, I can't not watch it. It's just a fascinating scene, and there's a lot of awful stuff going on, but man, is it ever interesting.
You can't look away.
It's great. I mean, when I started doing my list, I thought, I'm just going to wind up with a bunch of stuff that I can't watch, like things that I've never really been able to watch. But then I realized, no, everything on my list is stuff that is kind of compelling to watch. I don't necessarily want to watch it in detail, but yet I cannot look away. And they're all sort of like riveting, fascinating moments. For me, it's despite the gore. For some folks, you know, they love gore. And so because of the gore, it makes it more interesting for them. For me, in spite of the gore, these are still like really riveting moments. And this is a great example of that.
Great. Great choice. I mean, Nothing Lasts Forever is probably one of the most disgusting episodes of the series, like you said.
Really
so
is.
It definitely deserves to be on that list and at that position on your list. So well done.
Thank you.
Good pick.
And now I want to hear what your number one is.
Okay, well, you know how your number one is clearly it's a scene that you love from an episode that you love that you don't really want to watch, but you can't look away. Well, my number one is just flat out disgusting and horrifying, and I never want to watch it again. And do you know what that scene is?
What is it?
It is from the episode The Sixth Extinction, Amor Fati. And it is the scene where Mulder and Diana Fowley are about to have sex. That is the grossest scene in the entirety of The X-Files, in my opinion. And I never want to watch it again. Thank you very much.
You get no argument from me. That I cannot agree more.
I mean, look, we need, for story purposes, all of the ones that we have talked about tonight. Every single one of those had a purpose. They served a purpose. They were important to the episode. They were necessary. They were necessarily disgusting. This was just grossness that nobody needed to see.
No one wants to see that.
Nobody wanted to see that, especially since we never got to see that with Mulder and Scully.
Fuck yes.
Give me a break. Number one grossest scene in the entire series. We do not need to see Mulder and Diana Fowley having sex. No, thank you. Number one.
No, I think that's a brilliant choice.
I knew you would. I knew you would like that one.
Yeah, I would, right? But I totally agree with you, though. It literally has the same effect on me as watching one of these other scenes does.
Can't watch
like,
it.
Exactly. Like, in the sense that when I'm watching the episode, I'm just like, kind of like looking away, and I really don't. And now I'm like, I can't watch it at all. I just kind of just close my eyes completely when it comes on because I literally can't watch it. It's too awful.
And obviously, nothing against shirtless David Duchovny and Mimi Rogers, who are both very attractive people.
Very. Yeah.
I just do not want to see them together.
No, I do not.
No.
We don't need to see that.
It's like fire and ice. We don't want those two things. Just don't go together. We don't want them together. We don't want them on our screen. It's gross. Mm. Go away. So
no, I mean, especially, I mean, at that point, we've been, you know, all we want is for our Mulder and Scully to get together, and then to see
this happening.
We have been
tortured for far too long.
Honestly, like they're just poking a stick in my eye at that stage of the game. Like, why do you have to do this to me?
It's just rude. It
feels very rude and really horrible and. This is absolutely true.
The only saving grace about it is that it is just a dream sequence. It's just a fantasy sequence.
Yeah, that's about it, but still.
It's still nothing I ever wanted to see, but I just have to be thankful that it wasn't a real scene, right? We can be thankful for that.
I guess we should be thankful for small mercies.
Yes,
exactly. It's a very small mercy, but you're absolutely right. At least it wasn't real, but God, I don't need to see that.
My eyes don't thank them, but my brain kind of does.
Yeah, so. Okay, fair enough. Okay. Yeah, exactly. But yeah, when it comes to that kind of thing, my brain is not engaged. It's just like, as my therapist would say, lizard brain. It's just like, I'm just reacting.
Yeah.
I just react. There's nothing rational about it. I'm just like, no, nope, no, no, no.
You know what? And, yeah. When I see scenes like that and I see scenes like, you know, well, all the ones we've talked about tonight. Do you know what I think?
Yes.
This is what I think.
That's nasty.
Nice.
I just wanted you all to hear Cleveland tell you how I really feel about a lot of these X-Files moments, right? Jen, does that just sum it up for you?
Cleveland is bang on here, and I couldn't say it better. I couldn't have said it better myself, definitely.
Oh my God. Well, let's just give some brief shout outs to some things that maybe were on our short list that didn't quite make it. I wanted to give a shout out to the host, which is when Scully finds the fluke worm in the body, which always grosses me out. Another example of Scully kind of reacting to something nasty. The episode Fresh Bones, which is one I never rewatch because I don't really like it. But at the end, when Scully's like hallucinating that like a hand is coming out of her hand and blood starts coming out of her mouth. It's like a very brief moment, but it's so gross. And people forget about it, but it's nasty. Too Shy. Do you remember Too Shy?
Yeah.
When she opens the autopsy bay, a lot of Scully stuff here. And there's just like a tray full of goo.
Oh, yeah.
With like the bones. Oh, yeah. That's so gross.
That's bad.
Yeah. Those were some of my honorable mentions.
That was a lot. I don't know if there's anything honorable but any of those. But yes.
I wanted to shout some out.
I'm going to the ones that came close to making my list and didn't quite. I wrote down something to do with roaches for more of the coprophages. In the end, I couldn't really think of any one thing that was disgusting enough in and of itself, but basically anything to do with roaches is horrifying to me. Humbug, the whole attached twin situation.
Ooh, yeah.
That's pretty horrible. Again, a good example of horror and comedy together in an episode. We've discussed before about ice and pulling out the worms and anything to do with that situation. Yep, nope. Can't bear to watch that. The episode 3, that whole weird, I mean, there's a lot of weird shit in 3, but like the blood in the bread is the one that freaks me out the most.
That's so gross and weird. Why?
That really freaks me out. And the episode Fire, there's a lot of weird shit going on there too, but there's this scene where they find the driver's charred body in the bathroom near the end. And he's like,
right.
The pose that he's in and everything. It's just like, that's just, oh no, I don't want to see charred bodies. That's pretty horrible. So that one came close to my list as well. So we had a bountiful harvest of disgusting moments to pick from.
You know, there was one I wanted to point out because we were talking about the revival a lot. And this was another example of something that made it on primetime that I was like, what the fuck? Why? In the episode Founder's Mutation, at the end, when the woman's giving birth, or she's not giving birth, like the baby is telling her to cut her baby out, and she actually has to like stick the knife into her pregnant stomach and like cut it open, and then the baby crawls out of her like I'm watching this going, am I really watching this? Like,
is this even happening?
That was disgusting, and you saw like everything, and again, it was one of those things where I'm like, if this plot had taken place like in the 90s, you might not have seen as much, but
it was very graphic,
really gross.
I sometimes forget how gross Founder's Mutation was. I just picture it as being this very sort of like sanitized hospital episode, but God, no, there's some really horrible stuff in there.
No, and I think that's a pretty good episode actually, but like there's a lot of scary stuff in that one.
It's underrated, I think.
Yeah. Well, we have gone on now for over 2 hours about nastiness, Jen.
Wow.
But I'm sure there were many, many moments that we did not mention. And again, like you said, everybody has their own kind of special triggers when it comes to this stuff. So I, for one, am very, very curious as to what moments y'all think are disgusting. Please tweet at us at XFD Podcast. Let us know what we missed, what you agree with, what you don't agree with. All of that stuff. We love to hear from you guys. And I'll leave you with one more little Cleveland bit here because, you know, he can sum it up.
That's nasty.
Thanks for listening, you guys. Till next time, we'll see you later.
Bye.